Blog Talk.
Greetings, beloved.
Yes. We don't want no devils in the house.
Yes,
we want the Lord.
Yes, Jesus. Yes,
Hallelujah. Yes,
Jesus
Christ the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
We on a ultralight beam, we on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream, this is a God dream. This is everything. This is everything. Deliver us serenity, deliver us peace, deliver us love, and we know we need it. You know we need it. You know we need it.
Now I'm in need you now.
Pray for Paris. Pray for the parents. This is a God dream.
God dream.
This is a God dream. This is a God dream.
Oh, 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 oh.
We on a ultralight beam. We on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything.
I'm trying to keep my faith, but I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel faith, and in my holy war.
Why is the depression not blessing? Why oh why'd you do me wrong? You persecute the weak because it makes you feel so strong. Don't have much friends to fight, so I look to the light. Don't make these wrongs turn right. Head up high, I look to the light. Hey, cause I know that you'll make everything alright. And I know that you'll take good care of your child. No longer am I afraid of the night, cause I look to the light.
When they come for you, I will shield your name. I will field their questions. I will feel your pain. No one can judge. They don't know. They don't know.
Foot on the devil's neck to the drifted Pangea. I'm moving all my family from Chatham to Zambia.
Treat the demons just like Pam.
I mean, I fuck with your friend.
Good afternoon, Dr. Short.
Yes, good afternoon.
I just wanted to check in with you real quick, let you know we're going to do we're going to get started here in a few minutes. We're going to have like an intro theme song, and then I'm going to speak for a few minutes, and I'm going to bring you right on.
Okay, let me see. And please remind me of this show name. It's B-I-N-Z?
No, B-Z-N-Z.
B-Z-N-Z.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I seen you on, who was that? The Judge Joe Brown show. I'm going to talk about that on the show. You had me cracking up on there.
B-Z-N-Z, right?
Yes, sir.
Are you from Illinois?
No, I'm from, pretty close. I'm from Gary, Indiana.
Okay.
Wait, my accent coming through?
Yeah, it sounds like Midwest, and I'm thinking Illinois.
Yes, sir.
Gary's right next to Illinois.
Yes, sir. Right next to it. Well, all right, we're going to go ahead and get started.
Okay.
Bring this back in. All right. Greetings. Thank you all for tuning in to the BZNZ Internet Talk Radio Show. We are so excited and happy to have you here tonight to be with us in our broadcast live stream. Just a few housekeeping chores before we get started. Thank you, gracious.
Oh, I ain't going live yet. Let's try it again.
Greetings. Thank you all for tuning in to the BZNZ Internet Talk Radio Show. We are so excited and happy to have you here tonight to be with us in our broadcast live stream. Just a few housekeeping chores before we get started and your gracious host comes online. Tonight you are in one of the best places that you could ever be, and for that you should just go ahead and give yourself a round of applause. Real quick, we'd like to give you a disclaimer. The show is not responsible for anything that is said on the show. There's your disclaimer. During the show, if you are vibing with us, you feeling what we're saying, and you would love to just give us a love token, where you're going to see at the bottom of the screen is going to say Cash App Tyron Joe, $ Tyron Joe, TYREN JO. Anything that you can give would be greatly appreciated. A one, a two, or a few. We greatly appreciate it. Also, if you would like to be a sponsor of the program, please go to our Instagram page at BZNZ Talk. At BZNZ Talk, our Instagram page. Also, you can go to our Facebook page at BZNZ Talk, at BZNZ Talk. And we will be glad to work with you. And also a quick reminder throughout the show, I want to let you know that the likes are free, the dislikes are free, the love button is free, the share button is free, and the subscribe button is free. Five things while you're viewing this broadcast, five things while you're learning and growing, five things that is for free, and we would love for you to partake in that during the program. Last but not least, once again, we want to thank you all for tuning in to our program, our broadcast, our live stream, because you are the ones that run the show. Thank you all. Peace. Be blessed.
We gon' talk about it, we gon' talk about it, we gon' talk about it. Situationships and relations, Tyron Joe the host, start the conversation. Too much we gotta learn, too much we gotta learn, too much we gotta learn, too much we gotta learn. BZNZ, BZNZ, Internet Talk Radio. We gon' talk about it, we don't talk about it, we don't talk about it. Situation shifts and relations, carry to the house, start the conversation. So what we gotta learn, so what we gotta learn, so what we gotta learn, so what we gotta
too much we gotta learn.
You are now tuned into BZNZ Internet Talk Radio, where the relationship talk is the conversation that never sleeps and the payoff is never cheap.
That's right, where the payoff is never cheap. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. I am Tyron Joe, your gracious host of the BZNZ Internet Talk Radio Show. We coming to you tonight on a Monday night, November 1st, with a special guest, special show. Excuse me, you won't want to miss that one. Today brings in a new month. This is November. What's that? 2 months out, we be what? Into 2022. Man, it's crazy how the time just flies. It is really crazy how the time just flies. When you're having fun, or even if you're not having fun, that time's still going to move. So, congrats and kudos. We made it 2 months out. With that being said, please keep in mind that government poison is still out there, afflicting bodies and laying bodies on their back. So as I always say, please take your vitamin C, your zinc. Get you some potassium, get you some selenium, things that help build up the immune system. That's what you need in your body today. Drink plenty of water. Get you some exercise in. That's it. Wear your mask. Stay away from people with all that coughing and sneezing. That's it. I'm not a doctor, but that's what I can give you so far. Also, man, we need to say a prayer. Please, ladies and gentlemen, say a special prayer for Mr. D. Mr. D hasn't been feeling too well. I think he caught a real bad cold. So, you know, he'll probably be out for a few shows. But he texted me today and said that he's just starting to feel a little bit better. But he said he didn't know what it was, but he said it knocked him off his feet. Was laid out for a couple of days. So please say a special prayer. Matter of fact, we're going to have Brother DMX lead us in prayer real quick.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, it is you who wakes me up every day. And I am forever grateful for your love. This is why I pray. You let me touch so many people. And it's all for the good. I influence so many children. I never thought that I would. And I couldn't take credit for the love they get. Because it all comes from you, Lord. I'm just the one that's giving it. And when it seems like the pressure gets to be too much, I take time out and pray. And ask that you be my crutch. Lord, I am not perfect by a long shot. I confess to you daily. But I work harder every day, and I hope that you hear me. In my heart, I mean well, but if you'll help me to grow, then what I have in my heart begins to show. And when I get going, I'm not looking back for nothing, because I will know where I'm headed, because I'm so tired of myself. I stand before you. A weakened version of your reflection. Begging for direction. For my soul needs resurrection. I don't deserve what you've given me. But you never took it from me. Because I am grateful. And I use it. And I do not worship money. If what you want from me is to bring your children to you, my regret is only having one life to do it instead of two.
Well, amen. All right, we're back. One more thing before we get ready to bring on our special guest tonight. Keep in mind this Thursday, we will be on our regular scheduled time. This Thursday, we'll be having a show. Don't forget, before we even get into Thursday, don't forget that Thursdays, we will not have a show. That's Thursday, November the 18th, and Thursday, November the 25th. Thursday, November the 18th, I'll be traveling back to Indianapolis. Thursday, November 25th, that's Thanksgiving, Turkey Day. I don't want to get in the way of family. So we got some possible days for a show here, November 15th and November 22nd. Those are both Mondays. Maybe we can do something those days. Y'all let me know. I'm listening to the followers. I'm listening to the viewers. I'm listening to the subscribers. Also, keep in mind, November 26th, the day after Thanksgiving, 6 to 8 p.m., we're going to have our manhood panel, our second manhood panel. Ladies, please don't let the men outbeat you now. Don't let the men beat you, okay? If there's a woman that want to do a woman's panel, and you just need me to engineer, hit the inbox. It ain't too hard. Hit my inbox. I just engineer. I won't say a word. Because that's what I want. I want you ladies to come on camera and really let loose and express your feelings. But the topic for the second manhood panel is going to be becoming the priest of your own home. And we definitely need, as a man, to become the priest, because that's the problem with society today. Is that a lot of men is cowtowing and letting these women just run all over them. They don't know how to speak with authority. I'm not talking about being some Gestapo, We're not talking about that. We're talking about being a man that carries authority in his tongue. We'll get on it November 26th. But this Thursday, we choosing for a topic. This Thursday is going to be who's coming for you. Okay, who's coming for you? Speaking in terms of the energy that you bring toward people, or the energy that you have that attracts people. Okay, you can't be a person that is low maintenance or low budget, but you want to attract high value. Those two just doesn't mix. You know, you can't say, well, I want a high value man, but you're a low value yourself. Okay, so we got to somehow be able to bridge the gap to make the two become one. All right, well, I'm not going to get too deep off into it. Let's go ahead and bring on our professor. Let's read a little bit of bio. Minister Dr. Randy Short, MDiv, is a Washington, D.C. native and a scholar, historian, human rights defender, social commentator, anti-eugenics advocate, freelance journalist, writer, and social action / social justice missionary affiliated with the Christian Church, Washington, D.C. Representative for the Black Autonomy Network, community organization, Black Agenda Reports, Judicial Justice Movement, and African American for Human Rights Conference. In 2011, Short twice accompanied the Honorable Cynthia McKinney to Libya, an informed and excellent researcher and speaker. Short is regularly featured on FM, AM blog radio programs nationally since 2011. Short has been a commentator on Russia Today, Today News, Press TV, Alam, El Tahaj News, Atlantic Television News, Fars News Service, Safar TV, RT, Abby Martins, Breaking the Set, Voice of America, Portuguese, oh wow, okay, Africa, RTAC, WJLA, News Channel 8, News InfoWars, DC, Cablevision, Pacifica Radio, raising issues that range from wars in Mali, Syria, Somalia, and Libya, to helping to break the stories of the murders of Romali Graham and Trayvon Martin internationally. Short is the executive producer of the Facade of the American Dream documentary addressing racism and social justice that Press TV aired internationally in January 2013. Short's second documentary is Dred Scott Nation, debuted on Press TV in August of 2015. Short is a graduate of Harvard University, BS/PhD, Harvard University, MDiv, and the University of Virginia, MPhil. I got to ask, what is that, an MPhil? His PhD in African and African American history, Short taught history and religion at Boyd University and Lane College from executive director of the Prince George County Youth Commission, board of Rebecca Project for Human Rights, and serves on the board of the Coalition of Adoption Programs. As a Howard University student leader, Short forced the school to grant honorary doctorates to Kwame Ture and organize the Stop the Genocide in Darfur campaign in 2004. Man, wow, that's what's up. Short is a columnist, contributed to conservative digital news, and he has published articles in Black Agenda Report, the Baltimore, Washington, Afro-American News Dimensions. Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we're not going to take up any more time. Let us bring on the professor, Dr. Randy Short. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. And I got to greet my audiences, the people that are in Clubhouse.
All right.
The people that are in Fakebook, the people that are in YouTube, and of course, all and Instagram. I greet everybody by saying MFM. We need our MFM, which stands for Mother Effing Money. MFM, MFM, everybody. And who you gonna call? Coon Busters. And if you see me, all right, we have to bust coons. Everybody, I'm moving fidgety and I'm nervous. I got this whole mail bucket of books. Books that, you know, because I have my Angry Black Men's Book Club.
Okay.
And all of these books came in. You know, the postal people mess with your mail. I got into a lot of trouble here because I helped organize a protest against the Postal Service. I embarrassed them. And, you know, I get mail on Sunday. They hate me so much. Have you ever heard of Sunday delivery?
You know, I just started hearing about that about a year or two ago. Yeah.
Well, no, I get it anyway. But just Coon Busters, Angry Black Men's Club, all of you who can't stand Biden's sexual sense, and Pork Chop Feminist, Chuck Girl. Shout out to all of them. In fact, I've got folk on Clubhouse. Let me invite in my two favorite people on Clubhouse. Actually, I'm going to add all of them. I have a group of wonderful men and women. Brother Mark Smith and Sister Haley, Devin Haley, and I think I have Khalil. So I have all these people together. And so anyway, I don't know what we're going to do tonight, but
we just
have a bucket full of new books.
Okay.
And tomorrow I'm going to be working, yes, for the white conservatives because I'm mad at this guy promoting pedophilia. We have the same birthday. That's the only thing we have in common.
Who is that you talking about?
McAuliffe. McAuliffe is Hillary Clinton's friend who they basically sick the Department of Justice on the parents who don't want their kids raped by trans and don't want their kids taught how to do blowjobs on adults. Have been declared domestic terrorists. Can you believe that? Can you imagine? I don't know. I don't have children, but I love children. May not have a woman, and I love women. I don't like for women to get messed over. I don't like children to get messed
over. You're not married, Dr. Short?
Nope. And that's part. That's a major problem.
Oh, I got a question in.
But there is a solution. And so the solution is if it's not here, it's somewhere else. And I can't wait for COVID to end. I have a partner. We're going to be doing love safaris to Africa and Latin America.
All right.
And we're going to outsource these black male sex jobs. If you won't hire us, sisters, if you just can't share the skin, I'm not going to fight with y'all. That song, Leaving on a Jet Plane, Don't Know When I'll Be Back Again. So,
well, I'm going to say this. I was listening to Valerie Denise Jones, the judge on the judge with the judge Joe Brown show, and I first heard him. Man, this man had me laughing so hard because I think she asked you something about Oprah Winfrey, and you was like, "Well, I think she needs to come out of the closet."
Oprah Winfrey's a lesbian. A lot of the people are gay. My issue isn't that people into sexual confusion or whatever. My issue is that they're trying to make everybody be like that, lie about it. You'll never see Oprah Winfrey with her billions make one movie where it's just some normal, can I use foul language, please?
Go ahead, be yourself.
Well, there's just regular pussy and dick fucking between a black man and a black woman and doing each other's anatomy while you're here and alive to do it. You know, not one. You name. That nigga's been out since the 80s. Show me a film that Oprah Winfrey has made where it's just the black man that love pussy, woman love dick, and they just like doing it to each other, being happy. It hasn't happened. Even Spike Lee hasn't made it. These people don't make movies that celebrate black men and women being in love with each other. You know what? Even though I don't have someone, I can assure you last week I have a girlfriend who's nice looking. She's too old for me. She's in her 50s. But I have a friend that's in his 70s, and I'm trying to hook them up, and I try to matchmake. To me, if I'm not happy, let someone be happy.
Absolutely.
So a couple of folks have gotten married, or either I've advised people. So I want folks to get together. If we don't get together, we're damned.
I find it really strange, you know, about Oprah, is that she was with a man. Well, she been with Stedman damn near 40, 50 years, and she never ever made any move to get married. But if you flip the script and let that be a man.
Want her to get married. Look.
Oh, okay.
He's an escort. I mean, look, how many years? Look, there are two things that are happening. By the way, 50% of the men, black men, my age in this country, is single. A lot of it is money. I'm here in D.C., supposedly the ex-chocolate city. Do you know how hard it is to get employment here in D.C.?
Hmm.
When you're a man, when you're a straight man? It's straight black men. It's very, very hard.
Wow.
You can't get contracts. And by the way, they use black dykes and black gays, jam, straight black folks.
Mm.
I'm saying it. That's the reason. You know, if it were just about what people did when they got home, on a certain level, you know, that's them. But when there's economic repercussions against people, if they don't get down a certain way, and sadly, I have to say this, straight black men are at fault because the attitude of the average black man is if he's getting pussy, everything's okay. If there's murder in the community, trash doesn't get picked up, I got pussy, and I can watch some sports on TV, life is wonderful. And manhood's, it's too truncated. And by the way, they if you have a lesbian at the school trying to turn your daughter out, well, girls go through phases.
Mm.
We don't have it. We've got to get rid of spend. So I'm here in the DMV. The black women make a lot of money here. They get jobs with this affirmative action. They get 2-to-1 preference over you. I remember when I first got out of school, every time I went for a job, I would hear this thing. I'm not jealous of anyone getting anything. Whenever they'd say that, you know, well, you're competing with the black woman, which basically meant we're not going to pick you because we get a double benefit from having a black woman. She's a double minority and you're not. And I'm not even mad that the lady got the job, but that's a discrimination against me for being male.
Mm.
Now that they've made being gay a type of minority, black gay men can get stuff because they're a type of minority, you know, but the straight black man doesn't get a break.
Man.
And it's a real problem in this city.
Absolutely.
This is a problem all over. You've got an epidemic of no good, man-hating, bisexual, lesbian, black, democratic, female persons in power, and they hate black men's guts. Let us be really honest. Feminism and other things have been inciting black women to hate everywhere. Terry McAuliffe, who's running for governor, his election is tomorrow in Virginia. That bastard and I have the same birthday, and Alice Walker and I have the same birthday. I like neither for the same reason. One's white male, who's deviant, and then you have a black female that's deviant. I have gone to churches where they send their whole congregation up to watch The Color Purple on Broadway, where two black women are screwing each other, and there's no issue in that. You will never get, because I tell you, all the sexually frustrated black women that go to church that are all trying to fuck the pastor, and he's either a potbelly nigga got a pack of hot dogs, blub on the back of his head, they can't even get their protein level that they want. You would never have a black church take a bus of people up to have two black men slobber on each other for Broadway. It would never happen. You might get a gay church, whatever, but for the most part, you wouldn't get a functional black church celebrate two men getting down because black women will beef about the so-called male shortage, which to me got solved by lesbians starting about 20 years ago. Men have been outsourced by the white men who marry 1 in 3 black women, as well as, I would say, maybe 1 in 20 or 1 in 15 black women marry another black woman. So you don't have to worry about the black male shortage. But just to say, the hatred of black men, their replacement, and their elimination has been standard. If you look at it like what Chappelle's talking about or moonlighting every time, there has to be a gay black man. We have gay black women, but they don't push. They don't tell you that Oprah's a stud. They don't. They don't tell you a bunch of people are studs when they're female. They do want you. They do want to undermine the black straight male. And so, but I blame also straight black men, because straight black men are the biggest bitches of all. Why do I say that? If you know that the white man hates you, if you know that the Asians and all the other people hate you, if you don't want someone putting their finger on your, up your behind or touch you, that's black and male, that's gay, then it seems as if you would band with heterosexual black men. And black American men are the cattiest bitch men I've ever seen in my life. They will not fucking come together to save their own race. Now, you hate the sissy, you hate the bi. You got a problem with the stud. You got a problem with Mr. Bobo and all the other people competing with you. And yet most of the anger and the rage and the energy is focused on hurting and killing other black men are competing with them. Our competition should be the other 8 billion people on the planet, not disliking one another. And I'm not saying be bisexual, because I talked to a young student. And I said to him this, if I hate you, I'm a hater. If I'm cold, I'm chilly. And if I love you, I'm a faggot. So basically, we black so-called straight men have a fucked up trinity, that there are only 3 ways people can get along. We have to hate each other and compete over pussy like it's going to run out. Or we're bisexual and we switch turns on who's going to play passive. Or we're straight up punks where we all want to fake like we're women. Couldn't there be some other way that black men cooperate? All these fake ass people out here talking about Black Wall Street, that's black men cooperating with each other against everyone else. What made that stuff? Black men weren't bitches back then. Black men says, if you can do bricklaying, I can do carpentry, and they can do that, then we can have a construction company. You know, when you see a lot of stuff with black men, it's one person by himself, either because he can't get people to support him because the black men are catty bitches. They're the first lesbians. The black men are the biggest lesbians in the country. They either won't get with someone, or if they do work with someone, the dude wants to tyrannize worse than the white dude, and or they want to compete at something they're not as good at the next person in doing. We have a pride and ego, a fucked up pride, ego problems among black men. I know Negroes who, they don't want to learn how to read and write, and they hate everyone that can read and write. Then you get fucked on contracts and loans. You have to find someone that can read and write. You don't want anyone black smart, so you go to someone white that's smart, and they rob you too. When are we going to say, I just might need Lord Tyron Joe? They're larger platforms. I don't know how many people watch you. It depends on how people strike me. Some people are annoying, or some people want to use you or whatever. It's not the move. But I might need you. I happen to have, you know, I was a speaker in 2013 for the Gary Public Library.
Oh, okay.
For Black History Month. Okay. That was wild. I was even in discussions with doing a radio show. You have an AM station, and Gary, old dude that has it, has 11 stations, but, you know, Negro ticks, but it wasn't the station owner. So I have my favorite people in Chicago. Chicago's my favorite big city, and Gary's important, and Mayor Hatcher was a hero of mine.
Love Mayor Hatcher. Shout out.
In fact, my adopted uncle worked on Hatcher's first campaign. Had all his papers. His name is Philip Smith, if you've ever heard the name.
Not familiar.
Like, Philip Smith was a political writer for Mayor Hatcher. Okay. So, you know, I even have pictures somewhere outside the Jackson's house over by the school. Did they fix that school up that's around the corner from the Jackson Five?
Nope. Shut them all, shut down all our Gary schools. Yep, they ain't fix it up.
I'm sorry. So, no, I don't know who I'm going to need. But one thing, and I think the reason I'm not what I call a brother fucker is I grew up with in a predominantly white environment, right, where the white folk attacked you. The beach is just you got jumped all the time. You weren't white. And there's no way you had to fight them, and they number you, and they pick a fight with you, and they lie. They're teaching you get in trouble because black kids can't tell the truth, and white boys never lie. And so I kind of liked black males because at least a couple of us, I wouldn't get fucked with this often. I think black men that come up with around where they take other black men for granted don't recognize that another black man can be resourceful. Let me tell you a quick story,
and then
we can move on. When I was about 7 years old, what that'd be, 1972, 73. I had a sled that's like a shield, a big round sled, and I was sliding on the sled where I lived in Northern Virginia. And this white guy, I don't know, was watching me play with my sled, and just me being black was making him just angry.
Mm.
I wasn't bothering anyone. Then I saw him looking. I continued sled. I'm not bothering him. And he came up and told me, "Nigga, you better give me your sled." My sled. You think you're smart, nigga? It's like, it's my sled. You better give me the sled. So he tried to take it. When he realized he couldn't take it from me, he says, "You better give me a sled. I'm going to take a bat and beat out your nigger monkey brains."
Mm.
And this guy wasn't, I would have been seven. I think he would have been about 17.
Mm.
See, where I lived, the white folks, I mean, when my brother, there were people come from other neighborhoods just to fight someone black, try to jump them. Just because you're black, you deserve to get beat, spit on. I'm telling you, pissed on. This stuff happened. And by the way, when you're the only black person and two white guys piss on you, which happened, and they go, the teacher will believe that I pissed on myself, even on the back of my pants leg,
wow,
versus believing that these kids, they really pissed on me.
Wow.
Right? And there was nobody else black. Man, did you see at least someone to say, "Hey, yeah, I saw that," right? I always like to have other black people around. Maybe one of them's not a fucking coon, and they'll stand with you. Anyway, what happened? I didn't want to give up the sled, and he went and he got his bat. This is, "Nigga, you don't understand. I mean, who's going to believe that I knocked your head in? I mean, I could say you stole the sled, and I understand you called the police. Of course, I'm going to try to steal a sled from a person so much bigger than me."
Right.
So I let the sled go because I'd already had my head busted a few times by white folks, and they got away with it. And if I did get injured, it was my fault. Okay.
Wait, at the age 7, you had your head busted before by white folks?
Oh, my God. The first time I think I had my head busted, I was 4.
God damn.
Well, because where I come from in Northern Virginia, the people taught their kids to spit on and throw rocks. Black people, just that was how it was. We lived in an all-white neighborhood. We were niggas. We had no business being there. I mean, people throw trash in your yard. They would beat up anyone white. Stop being nigger lovers. We're going to beat you 3 times as hard as a nigger to kill you. Niggas are out. They can never be in. They need to go the fuck back to Africa. All of them are trash. They're subhuman. Period.
And see, they talk about the racism that happened down in the South, but they don't say too much on the East and the North. And the North.
No, that's not the North. I mean, it's the whole country is south of the North Pole. Okay, so let's dispense with that. Northern Virginia has more Confederate monuments than any place in the country. So I'm more about Confederacy. I mean, all this kind of stuff. So I lived literally on the far edge of what was George Washington's plantation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And George Washington had a black son who he gave land to, and it's a little segregated enclave called Gum Springs. And we lived on the white side of Route 1 or the Richmond Highway. This is the same highway the Union soldiers were trying to get down to take out the Confederacy. So I lived on the same highway. Okay. And we were one of the first black families to live where we're not supposed to be. Okay. And people didn't like it. And various things, you know, happened. And my parents, I have to say this, my parents are boomers. A lot of boomers are stupid as fuck. They were brought up to think that things need to be desegregated and black folks need to branch out and find out. In reality, you send your kid to school, the teachers hate you, everybody hates you. I haven't still told my mother some of the shit that I had to deal with white teachers from the 70s and 60s. I mean, just if I came home and told them every day the teacher did this, the kids did that, you know, because if you're going to go to the school, right, and your parents want you to be in school with the white people, you need to learn, right, you got it, right, then you have to go into that. So anyway, let me tell you what happened, which is where black men are the saviors. My adopted big brother, they're from Northeast D.C., 8th Street, which used to be a big, 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 super fly heroin corridor where my dad had a church. These niggas knew how to fight. And it just so happened on the day that this guy took my sled, my father had brought all of the thugs in his church to our predominantly white community. Praise the Lord for niggas being stacked up in the Rambler. So I went to my brother. My brother was sort of coonish. I never understood why my brother, sometimes coons in your family, even when you love, I love my brother's a coon. When I went and told my brother what this white guy had done to me, my brother blamed me for it and says, well, what did you say to him? Well, maybe just ask for him to give it back. And I'm thinking, what is he talking about? He says he's gonna bust my head open. And you know, my brother liked being cool with white people. Mm-hmm. I have coons in my family. We all have coons. My brother went to Virginia Military Institute with all little Confederate ass people in there. Look, cool. So my I was crying because I thought at least my brother, this is like right up the street from where we live. It's not like my brother had to go far. I knew who did it. He knew I had a sled. And so I was at the basketball court, and I was just bawling. And my big brother, my adopted big brother, Lamont Anderson, I don't know where he is. He spent about 7 years or 10 years in jail for drug-related stuff. He was, the last I heard, was doing drug counseling in Baltimore. But my God, I have to tell you, like I said, when you meet some good black people, in particular some good black brothers, there ain't nothing like that, except the only thing that excels a great black man is having a great black woman that loves you, whether it's your mama, your wife, or your sister, whatever. Look, Lamont saw me, and even then, I was sort of like the comedian. And I'm a preacher's kid, too. I'm the comedian. I make everybody laugh. and they always could count on me. And when he saw me crying, Lamont was playing basketball. He dropped the basketball and says, Randy, why are you crying? And I went, and he says, what? And I said, this is racist. Took my sled. And he says, Why do you take his? He says, Lamont, he took my sled. And Lamont said, what? Could you fight him? Did you fight him? I says, Lamont, he's almost as big as you. Lamont was about 6 feet tall when he was 15. Right. So he was huge. Lamont says, Lamont, he's the same size as you. And he says, Randy, you're exaggerating. He says, no, Lamont. He took my sled. He says, he's going to beat out my nigger, my monkey nigger brains if I didn't give him the sled. I did fight him, but he got mad. And then he got the bat. And I don't know them. They're new to the neighborhood. And Lamont says, I have to see this. He says, do you know where he is? He says, his house is like, it's a block over from where we are now. So Lamont went and watched, and he saw the guy come out of the house, how big he was. And Lamont was mad. He says, is that him? I says, yeah, that's a racist ass that took my sled. And Lamont says, don't worry, I'm going to get your sled back. And I says, thanks, Lamont. I says, how are you going to do it? He says, well, I'm going to visit his house.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lamont went and knocked on the door. Boom, 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 boom. And when the guy came to the door, Lamont punched him in the face.
Yes.
And dragged him out and beat that guy's ass in his front yard, was stomping and kicking him. And beat his ass so badly.
As he should.
And the death is new, you watch your slut. Let's just know you earned it. I haven't had a sled since then. But Lamont was my hero. And after Lamont beat that guy's ass like that, I mean, he just crushed this dude's ass. Everybody in my predominantly white neighborhood was terrified of Randy. He's evil. He's racist. He brings in niggas from the city to beat our asses.
Mm-mm.
I had never asked anyone. I didn't even ask him to beat him. I didn't even ask for the sled back. But general principle to me is, how could you, I mean, rob me, lie on me? And then, so I liked having, versus being on the bus, there's a fight, there's a nigga in the white, and they would pick fights because they knew they could jump you. And it was the sorriest, most shitty, pissy, Joe Biden-type white guy who would start stuff because he knew all the other white people jump in. He could be completely wrong. Always play the little white card that they'll all fight because we're white. Even if the black person was completely innocent, he'd still get his ass beat. Even if he could fight off six, he can't fight off nine.
Mm.
So I always appreciated numbers, having been surrounded, having had people, another sort of white kids tried to force me to eat animal shit with candy on it. And had my brother not been there, one of my first experiences would have been eating raccoon shit because I'm black and probably getting beaten on top of eating the raccoon shit by kids older, bigger, and many of them. So I learned numbers. We need a critical mass. When my parents moved to D.C. when I was 9 and a half, I discovered that black people totally hated each other's guts. We had no intrinsic love or desire for one another. They took for granted that you had a black teacher or a black principal or a black custodian for the school. Basically, if it's black, it's not shit. This is completely fascinating to me, coming from an environment where there's so few black people. I had one black teacher. She was a coon with the wig. She hated me. I can't remember her name, but I hated her. She hated me.
Mm.
I still hate her. I just can't remember her name. But I told me a black teacher I saw, and she avoided the black students to prove to the white students that she was fair. So having black teachers that were accessible versus the white teachers that had physically assaulted me or beat me or did stuff or lied or wrote up stuff or tried to keep me back, having black female teachers that were supportive was like, wow, this is great. I did better in the ghetto school than I did in Fairfax County that had one of the best school systems in the country. But so black is cool with me, but what I learned is most others in particular, male and female, there's variations of this coonery. There's coonery with the pussy and coonery with
most definitely.
But at the same time, it's coonery. And so I always liked black people, because I just tell people, when Dr. King got killed, I remember it, and I was just three. and people are calling your house, niggas, we're going to burn you all up. And if they did, I mean, they would find, you learn, wow, I just wish I lived in a black neighborhood where you have to worry about people just wanting to harm you because you weren't white. I've never wanted to be white. It's never been of an interest to me, but most black people want to be white or close to it. And so that's what I think. We have a lot of brother fuckers. Black men are taught to compete and hate each other. Either they're fighting for drugs, they're fighting for pussy, they're fighting to be the biggest and the baddest, and we have all this musculature and weaponry, and we don't use any of it on people who hate our guts. We only use it on each other. In fact, I noticed there were fewer fights when I went to the white school. I noticed that a lot of black kids seemed to, fighting was almost like people wanted to be angry with each other. I see a lot of black folks trying too hard to be against each other. Loud mouth, pork chop feminist asshole black women wanting all black men to be bad. I see too many sorry ass black men who don't have enough dick for Viagra pill, who don't have an income, who don't have any class or culture, that talk about black women that get with the, I'm telling you, white woman that looks like, you know, Casper, the friendly ghost with the discount Koreatown wig on with crystal meth teeth, and treat her like a queen. Now, what the hell is this? So, and I'm not trashing people who marry folks in other groups. I'm not there. But, and I'm honest with folks. But if you find a good black man or black woman, if nothing else, be friends to them. So I keep teasing my buddy Devin. She's a cool sister from Illinois. I have about 4 really cool female friends in Illinois. Just love the sisters, and I name them. So I have a new one, Devin. I have who's someone else's girlfriend. And she's nice, but she's lost some weight too. She used to be a big girl, and then she slimmed down. God bless her. Lose that weight, sisters. Fat does get in the way. Come on, when you see a big fat woman, you know, even your dick says, I don't know if I can penetrate all that. Or it's like, what's the guy from the Enterprise? Captain, we don't have the diabetes. You look at big woman, you think, I can't breathe this hole. Oh, my God. It's too big. I mean, I won't even get through to her navel, right? So, but when you're slim, or at least scaled down, you know, your dick starts singing, all things are possible. So, you know, don't be big. And brothers, you know, don't have a big tummy where it looks like you can put like a grapefruit in it.
Come on, teach.
Take yourself up. Take care of yourself. And, you know, don't have more tattoos than the Navy, you know. And, you know, be about the. But if you find a good black man or black woman, love them. Love them. Trust me. Love them. So Sister Devin, Sister Temple, my dearest friend, Michelle, I just talked to her, and then of course Jan. Oh, this Ina, the sweetest dark skinned sister. I'm telling you, she's like a big plum, juicy. You could bite her and probably get some muscatel out of her. Anyway, good sister, love a community, nice lady, sweet home Chicago. Be friends if you can't be lovers, and if you can't be lovers of friends, leave them the hell alone.
Let me ask you this real quick. We got about 3 people that's here in, on the backstage in the panel. I want to bring them on at some point. They all probably got a question. They want to say something to you, but I want to get one question out of the way. Okay, so we talking about male and female relationships.
No, we can talk about anything you want. I just was talking about black people need to give a damn about each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
And sisters, mothers, daughters, granddaughters need to be just that. Ladies, women and young girls and not just people with pussies.
Absolutely.
And men need to be more than a cadaver with a dick and sometimes a wallet with something in it. We have to greatly expand how we chat and deal with each other. If you notice, I did all the education in school. One of the big issues that happened, my brother, is that when I was in school, a lot of the people, the young women were convinced that they didn't have time for even friendships. So they wouldn't even risk if they liked you. That's even more reason why they wouldn't deal with you because, you know, it could get serious. They fall in love and they can't get their career on. And a lot of black women have bought into this whole career thing. And now we have a higher and a growing rate of suicide among professional black women who call themselves cougars. And really, you're a stray cat. You're not a cougar. Okay.
Stray.
Dwayne. You're not a cougar.
Dwayne.
And if it's a dirty old man, if he likes younger women, then you're a dirty old bitch. It's one rule for everybody. If it's wrong for a man to be gay, then it's wrong for a woman to be, you know, a carpet munching stud. And that's a problem we have in our community is that we don't have a set of rules or standards. And by the way, if it's wrong according to the Bible, which I believe in, it also tells you, how do you treat people that you disagree with them? You don't put your hands on them. You pray for them.
Absolutely.
You love them. You want them to come out of that. That's only God can do that. I heard a case where someone killed a gay couple. I absolutely don't want folk out there hitting on. I have gay cousins. I always talk about my great aunt that looked like the black Dick Van Dyke with the ponytail. Who's a stud. I mean, when I was introduced, this is your aunt. And I said, where? I got slapped by my father and mother because I said it out loud. I didn't think I was looking at a woman. I thought I was looking at a dude with a big flannel shirt and jeans on. I mean, it's like she had men's shoes on, brocade shit. I was like, damn, that's a woman? I was getting popped upside the head. You know, and that didn't get any better because, you know, they were down in North Carolina, and they had newspaper on the wall, for wallpaper. And I said, damn, where's the front page? And I started getting popped again. I said, you know, just shut up. Don't shut up. These are your people. So, you know, and on top of that, you know, actually, that's just, I get the news. Is that what the bugs are running on? Because that roach is running up and down in the newspaper. And my father says, you go get beat good. So I went on, I just got solid. And I knew if I was going to get some ass. Like, don't say anything. Don't notice anything. Just. So if my aunt was older than my grandfather, then there was someone that was a carpet muncher in my family 100 years ago. Okay. I'm not celebrating it, but I say this to everyone. I want to have this conversation. You know, that same person that was a stud, that's my great aunt, I've repeated the story, saved my grandfather from a lynch mob in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. So I think I love that stud. That stud be here. Had my grandfather died at that age, he wouldn't have married my grandmother. My father wouldn't have been born. My mother wouldn't have, I wouldn't be here. So back then, they were black first. This gay first bullshit sets me off. I can't stand sexuality coons, okay? If the cop pulls over a black gay person, they're not going to ask, well, may I see your license and registration? What gay bars do you frequent? They're not going to do that. They're going to say, nigga, do you know that you were driving 80 in a 30-mile zone, right? And the sexuality coons, all the black folks who are sexually confused who are trying to become a different ethnic group because you suck dick or eat pussy of the same sex. Y'all don't get, and here in D.C., we have an office for gay affairs. In fact, I was trying to get something. A friend of mine has a company, has helped him, and because he was straight, they wouldn't give him his minority business owner certification because he's straight. I told him this was going to happen. So, Cape Verdean stud working for the city government, you know, their job is to block black men. And it's what a lot of folks with this sexual stuff do. And black men who are straight are the biggest losers. And I told my friend, I'll solve this for you. I know what I did because there's an office on African-American affairs which doesn't do shit. So you know what I did? I basically called the office on for the gay community. Got a name up in there. When I called that little punk-ass nigga in the mayor's office and told him I had called the gay community, they told me to call him. That dude did everything I wanted him to do.
Wow.
He wouldn't have done it had I called him as a black man calling another black man who's probably gay to help a black man create this for black people. But if I jump and call his overseers, his slave drivers, the white sissies who run stuff, he wouldn't dare not help me. Because when I did that, he didn't know whether I was the boyfriend of one of those white dudes who could fuck him up. Isn't that unfortunate that I have to do stuff that way? I don't want to do that. I just want to call it. The brother had done the process 2.5 times, and they didn't give it to him because he's straight. And the only way we could get him through was to, as I said, I'm from D.C., and it should be called Dick City or District of Coons or both, D.C. instead of ACDC.
Let me ask you this. This was a topic that I posted on my Facebook page the other day. A co-host of mine, we was talking about how she believes that, and I've been told this too myself, that some men really believe that women shouldn't have an opinion. And I find that, I mean, that's really hard.
That's like saying you think women shouldn't have a pussy. Well, what are they supposed to have?
But they saying that there's men that, well, I've been accused of this myself. I've had women say that they believe I think women shouldn't have an opinion because of the fact that I know how to distinguish from a woman's opinion and a woman wanting to argue with me.
Well, but there's something else that you should add. The same way we all have assholes, we have opinions. Just because you have one doesn't make it valid, doesn't mean it should be listened to. I could think that you're a Chinese woman. Is that really something I should say or bring up? There's something in a lot of our sisters and brothers, but in particular sisters brothers too. A lot of folks, let me just get that, the B word. It's the B word we don't use is bastard.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot, most black folks are bastards because the fathers and mothers didn't go through religious matrimony. Bastards. You didn't come up with your dad around. Your mom, you know, you don't know nothing. I mean, I've met people, they don't know their grandparents' name. I mean, they know every single solitary superlative about LeBron James' basketball career and Michael Jordan and the boxers. And you ask, who's your uncle? Who's your aunt? If they know their nicknames, they don't know their formal names. We have a very jacked up, fucked up, matriarchal system that's completely out of control in our community. And let me just say, the sisters, y'all have had control of the black family for 50 years. I'm not saying black men are perfect, but black men were primarily the heads of the household in 1960. Then that changed about 1970. It's been going to shit since. So, and that's not opinion. That's a goddamn fact. So your opinion that you don't need a man and kids don't need a father has brought us to the brink of genocide in our community. And this has come in part because of fucked up opinions. And let me say, back to the weak black men who think the world's going to run out of pussy if they stand up and offer facts.
Pussy going to always be
opinion. There. Well, yes. I mean, it's like thinking there'll be no sand in the ocean. On the this is a stupid moron shit about black men I hate. I grew up where there are almost no black females. There is not a pussy shortage. In fact, the pussy shortage is an excuse for black men to be sorry, pussy panhandling,
come on,
low down, snake in the grass, no count niggas. Well, man, I can't come to work, man. I was up late with my lady. It's always put. I'm glad it's not a man, but damn. I even know niggas who bother their friends, man. I'm trying to capitalize on fucking this fine-ass woman tonight. Man. I was wondering, brother Tyron, can you, like, give me, like, 50? Because, you know, she liked to drink a little bit, and I want to get, like, a whole Courvoisier and some Crisal. He's asking you to buy liquor so he can screw someone else.
Right.
To me, if you can't afford liquor, get that bitch a six-pack.
Real time.
I mean, I don't even drink. Just, you know, or get some Benadryl from Bill Cosby. But don't bug me to subsidize you like the world's going around. Well, man, she's such. And if it turned out to be like a really unattractive white woman, like the kind that work in White Castle, okay? Okay, they've been flipping burgers so long, they probably ate half of them without the onion. I don't mind people having opinions. I had a couple of people call me with opinions, females, black, this week. And one of them I blocked. I don't wish to hear from them again.
Mm-hmm.
And I maybe blocked another one. And then the other one that had mistreated me that had an opinion, her opinion was I would deal with her a second time. Wrong. The fact is, we worked together. I know you. Yeah. This is what, refresh my memory. I don't remember your name. Then it just says, oh, and it was very nice. In fact, brothers, don't yell and scream. Don't call people the B word. Just intelligently say no. The problem with most Negroes is they like revolving door pussy that's always going to come back to them. So we never check them on their bullshit because, you know, man, you may be shorthanded with pussy one day. And that girl you spoke to like that may be the only person that's going to get
you. Yeah, I done had men tell me stuff like that. And I'm like, man, come on, man.
All the time, man, you know what? You might need a blowjob one day. You better reconsider how you talk to her. Right. And then everything breaks down to you. You might get some, you know, what if I had diabetes and I couldn't get it up? And no one want to suck on linguine. You're doing that, and just like it keeps falling down, and it's saying, are you sure you need me to do this? Because it's the same way it was.
It ain't going to work out.
You know what? You can't criticize them about fat, but they'll criticize you if you've got a limp dick. In fact, all
fake
those
double
people
standard.
Getting that vax. Well, no, that's not a double standard. You really should be able to get your dick up.
I mean, I agree with that, but I'm saying they mad if you say something about weight, but they certainly going to tell you about your dick, right?
Well, the point is that you should have dick control and they should have plate control.
Absolutely.
Aren't we having an unorthodox conversation?
Well, that's how we do over here on our program.
Feminist angry tonight. In fact, that's what you do. If you want to get rid of opinions of stupid people, have honest conversations.
Absolutely.
Talk about, so you'll find people, they'll run. The pork chop feminists. Fuck Dr. Shaw. And so, you know, I go on Facebook and just start off with, oh, I see someone in there, I can't stand her. And I start saying, you know, Kevin Samuels looks like Jesus. Before he was crucified, I mean, we need to, like, you know, he could be like a blowback to the great Messiah. We should just listen. And I know this is, fuck Kevin Samuels. I says, I thought he was gay. I said he was gay. So now you want to fuck him. Well, he says, you'll turn him around. I don't want to screw Kevin Samuels. That's right. Stop paying attention to him. But I says, he must be telling some truth because so many people are trying to silence him.
Peace.
And I don't follow the show that much. I know that there has to be truth because there's so many angry black women who've never had to hear. We have an unspoken rule in our community. You can have all the pussy you want, black men, without respect, and without you using reason and facts in our conversations, my emotion and my feelings should trump anything that you know to be true.
Dr. Short.
If you want this pussy, you better do what I say when I say so.
I'm going to tell you what Kevin Samuels is doing. What he is doing, he is talking about things that the other top-rated gurus, relationship gurus, has failed to really mention. Like, he talking about weight, like you saying, the weight. He asked him, how do you rate yourself from 1 to 10?
He's talking about greed.
Absolutely.
He's talking about bullshit expectations. You know, the woman with 15 children that thinks she's going to marry a Harvard, a business school graduate. I mean, Claudine in the movie got a trash manhole. I'm just saying, you know, and that was the catch. Come on, let's stop doing this.
And he asked the question to the ladies, what's wrong with average? They said, I don't want no average man. I want a high value man. But what's wrong with average?
But hold on. When you're fat, you're average. When you're morbidly overweight, you're average. When you have children out of wedlock, you're average.
Right.
When you have a bad attitude, you're average.
Teach.
When you get weave, you're average. When you got stretch marks that look like the Rockies in Colorado, you're average. Okay? If you go to church and give your money to a no-good preacher, you're average.
Come on. That's all facts right there.
It's really sad. It's really sad. Really sad. Really sad. So, basically, but people can build each other up. Why not, instead of looking for a man that has it all, why not create a business, a family business, and generate some wealth? Mom and pop it. Other people do it. If she's kind of big, then walk with her. In fact, don't have a two-car family. Save that money. So that means we'll get some walking in. I mean, oh, man, I'm going to give her the car. No, that's the problem. In fact, a lot of people live in their car and they're always at the drive-thru. Let me tell you something. Chick-fil-A. You go to Chick-fil-A and all these other things and you go and it's all these people in the drive-thru. There's a link between everybody being in cars and there being those sidewalks in the south. So people get fat because they're in cars. They don't do basic walking. I don't do enough walking, but I did about a mile or so today. I need to start doing more. It would be good for me. So we can make each other better. You know, I was at the National Archives, and it's been closed for a year and a half. But I have seen the old black families from Reconstruction, and you would have a black woman who may have been 40,
mm-hmm.
married to a black man who is 19 or 21. And they made a go of it. She may have had the access to land. He could work the land and he could work her ass too. And a lot of our families, people looked at what they could bring to the table and leverage it into a family versus cherry picking what someone doesn't have. He doesn't have a lamb. He doesn't have a Maserati. He doesn't even have a Volvo. This is shoot. I mean, excuse me. Why not look at what we do have? And that's sort of where we need to go. So that's my thing. So opinions, they have their place. But opinions are just opinions. Facts are different, you know. If you and I should have a conversation and we're talking about something, if I bring up something and I'm not certain of it, I'll stop on my phone and wiki and find something to make certain that I didn't tell you something that was wrong. As much as I think I might know I could be wrong, I would rather you have the correct answer than the answer that I gave you. Have some humility. I don't know it all. We don't have it all.
Absolutely.
And we should be happy to have someone to be with. I mean, you could be in solitary confinement hoping for flies, roaches, and rats to be around you. Because you can wait. We have a lot of black folk in supermax prisons and stuff like this that are completely lonely. Children in foster care, children and child and family services.
we have seniors in assisted living where they're killing them and not taking care of them. There are a lot of people that don't got nobody. We should be thinking about being grateful. You know, this is a very spiritual thing. Black folk hate God. They hate the lips he gave us, the noses, the hair, and all that. We hate the women. We hate the men. Instead of being grateful, be thankful. Be thankful. I mean, have you ever seen, I mean, look, if I remember we used to go to the primate house or the monkey house. You know, and I've said this to someone racist since they talked about black people being ape-like. And I said to them, name another group of animals that have lips like black people do. And you can't. So with the most definable human lips are on us. However, the lips that you have, camels have lips like you do, chimps, orangutans, even certain reptiles, frogs have lips that are like yours. We don't. So before you, by the way, we never had another conversation again, and I became the racist for simply bringing up the fact we won't look at lips, certain things, hair. When you really think about a lot of black people's hair, they can say like sheep, but if you've really been around sheep, sheep's hair is not like black people. We have about the most human of any people. Hmm. Hello, Miss Wolf.
Yep, that's my co-host, Miss Kiana.
She's got beautiful teeth and beautiful earrings, and I'm racist. I love dark skin sisters. I'm fire. Oh my God, she's black. Ooh, cool. Yay. Not to cast dispersion on light skin sisters, but like I said, that's why I was going to Africa. I want a real black family. If I can't find it here, I'll go there, you know, do some Kunta Kinte. Well, not Kunta. It would be Booty Kinte. We'd be looking for instead of Kunta Kinte. But anyway, we really can do better. We need to be grateful for who we are, who we have, what we have. Things would become so different, good about some of what we had, at least a little bit. When I was in school with white kids primarily, this is very interesting. They loved the hair I had. They loved it. They couldn't get their hands out of it. When I got to school with black kids, they always talked about how terrible my hair was. And I thought it's interesting. White kids who are racist actually liked my hair anyway. The black folks were supposed to be my people. Never could find anything that's likable. And so we, you know, in the Song of Solomon, written by a black man, Solomon, it says, I think in Song of Solomon 6 and 8, jealousy is more cruel than the grave. We are jealous and won't even admit, you know, you got a nice, got nice eyes, or you got a nice nose, or we have to kind of like leave some of that alone. If someone's pretty, like this lady's pretty, if I was walking down the street, if nothing else, just the skin tone, the way it's shiny, I said, man, I saw this fine-ass black girl thing. He said, man, you always some of them black girls. I would take a still look, keep moving, you know. You have porno going in your head, right? but you take a look. You don't. You're not rude. You don't like stealing. Yeah, there go butt, right? We need to be happy. She don't have to be mine. You see someone, like I said, the ladies I'm friends with in Chicago, they're my friends. Some are married to other people, but we're friends. I appreciate them. They make me feel good just talking to them. And that's the other thing. We're talking about opinions and all. One of the things that we really should do is try to get people to be friends. I mean, I know folk, man. First thing one say, hey, what's up, queen? Well, what you trying to get in tonight? Not, my name is, how you doing? I mean, at least a little foreplay with your mouth. Just want to jump into it.
And I've seen women as bad as men. I always tell the story. I was telling the story of one of my friends, lady friends, guy who got fag-bagged when I was in high school. He went on a date with a girl, and he didn't reach up her dress within 2 minutes of being in the car, which was an infraction. And so the girl was thinking, I don't think he's going to make it. He's not serious about me. And so certain people said, so damn, if I go up with her, I'm going to reach up her dress before she can get in the car. I'm going to put my hand up there because I don't want her talking about me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where we commodify each other the same way that the racist white folks do and others. And start off like that. To me, I like people that are intelligent. I want to know if the woman has the brain, because I hate a lot of ill-informed opinions. Now, I need to add this. There are informed opinions, or opinions formed on observation, study, and research,
mm-hmm.
which could be factual. Those we brothers should listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Like if she said, hey, you know the guys that do the yards? They always leave clippings behind. They probably never clean it up. That's an opinion, but she's seen things to give evidence to the opinion. That should be listened to.
I'm with that.
Why? Because that's slightly different. That's when it's a sister's or a woman's intuition. And I don't know where, other than God gave women the ability to see shit that we men miss. You know, come on, let's be honest. Dudes wouldn't wipe the dry nut off their penis if they didn't have women. What's that, man? No, don't you go in the shower. No, you just messed me up, right? Women see and notice stuff that men miss, and it may strike us as an opinion, and it comes from the truth that women have being women. We have to learn how to listen for that, too. You've got to almost have a filter, but that comes through having a relationship.
Absolutely.
And we're too busy chasing the buttocks, the bosoms, and the bussy of the women instead of trying to know who they are as a human being, as a creation of God. Right? Then you never develop the kind of depth and patience, because there's going to be some animal attraction. We are, you know, in fact, by a certain age, and that's what I had to say to the young man I was talking about from Memphis, who was, I saw him at like 12 midnight, first semester at school, grabbing like 10 girls' asses. That was said, I'm going to go off on him in class and tell him, you can't screw everyone. If you did have a dick big enough to take them all on, they wouldn't want you because they wouldn't want to bleed to death. Have you ever thought about that?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. And I said to him, how old are you, brother? He says, you're about 19. He says, yeah, I'm 19. I says, you started fucking when you were 9? He said, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You've been fucking for 10 years. Obviously improving with time, at least in your own mind. Do you think that you could restrict fucking to every other weekend for your first semester so you can get at least your worth out of this damn loan money because your broke ass can't afford to be here? Does that sound like I'm inviting you to be a homosexual? I'm asking you to, like, at least get a good semester in before you drop out. And he said, yes, sir. I says, and mind you, I didn't ask you to be gay, trans, and I asked you to continue to be straight, but please. And I said, you know what? The thing is, my friend, you think you're getting over, but she's getting over. If she doesn't want to complete school, she can get pregnant, then you have to work for her for child support for life. Okay, you think you're smart. No, she's smart. You've got your half of knowledge. She's got the other half that she can go to the sheriff's office. She's got your ass for something that you didn't really want. You should spend some time thinking about that. Because you can get one that kind of likes you, wants a kid that likes you, looks like you, but doesn't want you. She can get you to raise a kid that hates you, that looks like you, that she wants. and by the way, if another kid looks like you and she doesn't let you test it, you'll have to raise another dude's fuck trophies.
Mm.
And you never saw it coming. Stop treating women like they're stupid. Like women don't know how to work a situation if they felt like it. If women didn't know how to survive the way men have fucked over and killed and done stuff to women, women wouldn't be here and we wouldn't be here. So trust me, they're not dumb. They're just different.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Professor Short, we want to we running a little long time. We want to be able to get our three panelists in and let them ask some more questions. Go ahead, Kiki, start off with yours, and I'll bring Cece in, and I'll bring Dwayne in.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
First of all, hello, Dr. Short. Nice to meet you for the first time.
Thank you.
I do want to say something. I so appreciate the realness in you. I do find with having conversations with other people that sometimes we always talk about what the woman's doing and we never talk about the man.
Mm-hmm.
Or we talk about the man and we don't talk about the woman. But what you have done today with my first time hearing you has made me understand that there's wisdom in you. There's wisdom in you. And the reason why I say that is because you spoke of the woman, but you also spoke of the man. And I feel like sometimes, and this is just my opinion, but I feel like sometimes we leave intricate parts of how things are working or not working out of things because we don't speak real about both genders. And so I just appreciate everything that you have said. My ears is on. I'm listening. My dad taught me a long time ago, you have two ears and one mouth. That means listen more, speak less. So I am just in awe. I am so glad that I was able to make it tonight in order to meet you and to hear you. And I'm just taking it all in so that I can be a better me. But yes, I so appreciate that about you. You have spoke some real things tonight because a lot of men will talk about a woman but won't talk about themselves. We never self-reflect and be accountable for our own actions. And we do a lot of pointing, but we don't get ourselves together.
Can I share this with you? One of the things
that
we got to be honest about, and that's what's talking about black men being bitches, we have failed. We have failed. I was giving an example to a sister the other day when we talked about accountability, and I told her, no matter how much you live for God, no matter how holy you are, no matter how well you take care of yourself, no matter how often you see the OBGYN, if you deal with a man who gets an STD and he has sex with you, it's inside your pussy. It becomes your responsibility to get that infection out, even though it happened, he lied, you may have been married, you did everything right, you're living for God, you don't touch nobody but him, that infection impacts you. And you can do all the analysis and talking and pleading and begging, but you have the infection. Black men are in that same situation. We've been conquered, we've been oppressed, we've been stripped, we've been castrated. But it's left to us to do something about it. And I would wager to say if black men came together intelligently with any kind of a plan, the good black women, because they're batshit crazy trash coon-ass men and they've got counterparts to the females, they're never going to get on the same square as we are. But those that are legit, if they came together, the women would join because I believe that there are, and I've met them, black women that are ready. In fact, I got a thing called Salt Ministry. I wanted it to be like 50-50, but I mostly have sisters. I'm not mad, but they've helped me tremendously. There are sisters that are dying to see black men be men. I'm dying for black men to stop being pussy beggars and excuse makers and just cop a humble. Look, I don't have any money. I don't have this, but I have a desire. I can do this. I can do that. Like the example I was saying for black folks at the end of the Civil War, that people are able to forge families and lasting unions on people being real about what the situation was. And one of the biggest problems that we have, and I'm going to just talk about black men, is this coon, hard-headed nigger pride. Okay? So if you ask me why I'm saying, I'll tell you, money. It's me. I haven't figured out exactly how to have the kind of money to support a family. I didn't say, well, because all the black women are bad. There are a lot of bad black women, but the real thing is, if I had the moolah lined up, a lot of things would be very different. So it's on me. Me. Mm. And I may have to get somebody from, like, you know, Panama under a canoe that doesn't mind, like, living underground until you get the resources. But we must, as black men, damn thing together, because what black women see perpetuated through the media and everything else is models of success of other men, whether they got the money through us being their slaves for hundreds of years, whatever. They're seeing a model that works, and black men don't run it. And as we become estranged from each other, as they rig this economy and done all these other things, black women don't get to see on a regular basis a consistency of men being effective in handling their business. Now, some do, but a lot don't. We couldn't have these problems. And the reason that we don't see it, as we go to the very people who've oppressed us, genocided us, used eugenics, credit redlining on us, and we ask them, help us, give us the employment to sustain families. Why would they do that if our numbers were great enough? We may pose an existential threat. I have a book right here. Where is it? My Thomas Jefferson book with Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, yeah, we want you to get into some of them books, too, later on.
The Notes of the State of Virginia. Thomas Jefferson made a reference to white folks would either have to wipe out black people or black people would wipe out white folks. This is something that they fear. And all the other people dislike black men. Okay. And so there's a reason that black men often don't. One is, they feel defeated. There are some black women that walk around like acting like they don't understand what the hell is going on. Okay, but some might if you schooled them. If we did this, it would help tremendously. Maybe we couldn't save everybody, but we could save some. You know, we've survived and done things when we've come humble. That's what my sermon was for my fellowship. We need to get humble and be real. You don't need to be laid up with 10 women when you can't afford one, right? You don't need 20 kids. You show them Polaroid pictures of kids that you've never bought a fucking Mars bar for. That's not being a man. Pimping to me is faggoty. You mean you slept with all of those women and you didn't connect with one of them? Not one of them got close to your soul? I mean, the only difference between you and a fag is that he's on a back and you're on a bosom. But neither of you are about to create anything that's going to be lasting. Okay? Are you hearing me, sister? So we fail, and the lack of honesty. See, failing isn't the end. It's not a failure. If we came and worked together, he asked me to come on the show. I don't know how many people watch him, but I know if I come on someone's platform, their numbers go up. I know that. Everybody's platform goes up tremendously. If he asks, I mean, they constantly rip my videos down and you shut him up, right?
I'm keeping this video up right there.
And his portal allows me to get my message out. So he's helping me. I help him. And then you, sister, I want to be in touch because we want, there's a sister here who wants to do a radio show starting this month with sisters to talk about issues of black women. I promised her to get names of women that will come in and talk. You, and so this, all we have to do is treat each other better. If we just started, it's this, I mean, I've even seen people, I'll tell you, I know gay folk who've never had real friends before realize, wow, I don't have to do a blowjob to have friends. Well, this is kind of cool. Maybe I'm bisexual, not gay. They've never had any models of something. And so we can't just say black men, black women, I go spiritual. We've been under a total attack as a people, like in Exodus in the Bible. I mean, the drugs dumped in our community, the credit redlining, they're giving reparations to Mexicans who steal children.
Mm.
And yet, my great uncle who served in World War I and World War II didn't get a damn cent from the GI Bill. I mean, and they know that blacks who served in uniform that didn't, I mean, they can't give us, the descendants of these people, a penny, but they can do this. This is satanic. It's an attack on us. And we can tear into each other and we'll never get anywhere. Or we can turn to each other instead of tear at each other. And those who think, those who want, as I said, if I don't meet anybody, but I know two people that would get along, and says maybe they'll have a black family. Don't have to be me. I'm not going to be married. He's going to get some pussy tonight. I'm going to be by myself. No. If God wants you to have it, he'll provide it. If we do this for each other, this is what, look, I'm 56. Black people now are very different from what I remember. They've been doing social engineering, television, all this stuff. We have all this stuff. We had drag queens. We didn't have trans. They went in the men's restroom. You know you're a dude. All of this is an attack on us. I mean, to bring all the foreigners in here to do everything. Look at this. During COVID, they shut clinics and banks, but they kept the abortion clinics open. They closed churches, especially in our neighborhood. This effort to eliminate us is wholesale, and they have helpers amongst us. Our communities are honeycombed by people who hate our guts. The only way, the first thing that we must do to free ourselves is to deal with traitors. Okay, sister, I'll say one thing and I'll shut up. I was on the phone with my cousin before I came. That's why I was a couple minutes behind Brother Tyrone. But my favorite cousin was in an abusive marriage. And I respected her. I waited until she started talking about it. And once I got permission to help her go after his ass, I did. Get his fuck over my favorite cousin, her. Okay, I'm pissed. I seem like I'm in a good mood. I'm mad because I talked to her. I'm thinking about my cousin literally married him a virgin. And just tried to break her down. I mean, for the damn hell of it. And he knows her father's dead. Her brother's sick.
Mm.
And so he can, so be clear. When I saw The Color Purple, that reminded me of family that I have, okay? Not all, but family. I didn't have an issue with Alice Walker talking about this abuse and all. What I had a problem with is the failure to show the same way my cousin's been abused. I have several friends who've had wives that cheated on them that have done stuff, and black men don't talk about it.
Peach.
Okay? And so we're obligated to tell the truth. And at the same time, as black men, we still have to protect our women. We failed. We failed our children. We failed God. But the beginning of us turning this around is admitting. When I'm writing a book, and I'll say this, sister, I watched a guy who got a young girl hooked on dope in the 60s. And I remember him she got pregnant, and he didn't want her to be pregnant because he couldn't get her to sell herself. And I remember him, I didn't start talking until I was 4 and a half. Man was punching her in, punching where her baby was, cursing her, threatening to kill her. And not a fucking soul helped. I couldn't even scream. I didn't talk. And I tell people, I remember this all the time. This was a girl. Didn't son, it, nobody sees this? And honestly, sister, this is what happens with a lot of young black men. If their mothers have been beat by boyfriends, a lot of brothers emotionally detach themselves from what's going on because they couldn't protect their mom or their sisters or whatever. And I still feel bad that I couldn't help this lady. I was 4. I wish I could have done something. And helpless. Black men feel powerless and helpless. But, and part of that is, in a sense, they are as individuals. But as a collective, we're very powerful. We simply use it on each other. We're not protecting our women. They shouldn't have these black women disappearing and their organs are cut out, which is happening in Chicago. I follow what... There should be a group of people with bats, whatever, who go to find a neighborhood, and somebody should be in Lake Michigan with cinder blocks on their appendages, and that end it. Okay, that's how I feel about some of this stuff. Bust this stuff down. The thing is, and I'll stop here because I know you need to do another thing.
No, I was going to ask you a question, but yeah, go ahead.
But if we came together as a collective, the Deacons for Defense, the Black Panthers, the gangs before they got perverted by the CIA and other intelligence agencies to get them to sell dope to one another. Look, I have gangsters in my family. The biggest cocaine dealer in D.C., $20 million a month, is a distant cousin of mine. I had a cousin that was selling $5 million a month worth of cocaine down in Charlotte. Okay, my folks were bootleggers on NASCAR before white people found out about it. Thug. I just come from the church side. My dad was the weird person. The other people are thugs, okay? My cousin that everybody says I act like, he used to rape all the kids under 18 at the jail at Jessup, Maryland. I'm thinking, why would I remind you of a booty bandit? I never understood that. So crooks in my family, saints as well as crooks, but people like the man that had statutorily raped my aunt, one of my aunts, got out of town because there was a word put out that he was going to be eaten by catfish if he wasn't out of town by 6 o'clock. We haven't seen him 50 some odd years later because my grandfather, they would have put him where my grandfather goes fishing for eels. We used to handle this. There used to be order, and when black men let feminism and white liberals and the welfare black women of goodwill, that's when this thing happened. We are powerless because we're spread out. If we come together, nobody would mess with us. But there has to be not just love for the sisters. Sisters must love each other where you don't try to take the other woman's man.
Come on.
And brothers have to love each other to not want to touch his woman or his kids or his ass. If we could have agape community love, then things will suddenly change. It only takes a few. If y'all agree to do that, if a couple of us agree to say we're not going to have this shit anymore, if you understand that the Black Panthers didn't have 4 members before the FBI infiltrated them. Did you know that? At their 4th member was an FBI informant. There used to be the old slave code that you couldn't have 3 black men get together. That's how powerful we are if there's just 2 or 3. Scriptures say wherever 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, he's there.
Well, that's right. That's what scriptures say.
And I'll say this and I'll stop. My cousin, who's 81, who's up in Elizabeth, or Orange, Orange or Elizabeth, New Jersey. The men in my family ambushed the Ku Klux Klan down in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, back in 1951. To the point where the Klan didn't come there because they didn't want to get shot, because they got shot, right? And I'm saying to you that all broken, we just aren't united. And the thing I learned about my family and that other people's families are similar, that we come from the dismal swamp, independent black communities down in North Carolina and Virginia, where people would rather live with alligators and mosquitoes than be slaves to white people. And they were afraid of the black people's unity. Right there, Virginia had the largest number of slaves in the antebellum South. Virginia had more white folks armed than any place in the South, and they were afraid to go into the dismal swamp because they knew it was like a roach motel. The black people in there were united. They didn't mind dying. They're going to kill you. If you come for us, we're coming for you. We can, too, stand up. It's a spiritual thing. Black people have fear. This is why many of them have been vaccinated. Instead of learning about Tuskegee, they have fear. And fear is a satanic spirit, and that's how they rule us, through fear. We love Malcolm X because he's fearless, but the lesson we didn't learn is that Malcolm didn't have enough people banded around to make it harder for people to take him away from us. We should only fear the Most High God. I'm not a brave person. I'm not a tough person. You could probably beat me up just smiling at me, sister. But there's some things I can't go for. When they wanted to have pedophilia legalized here in the city, I flipped. I don't even have kids. I don't want them teaching black girls to be prostitutes. I don't give a damn how much money they spent. They had like $50 million. So a little guy like me, and Martin Luther King wasn't that tall, a whole bunch of these people have been very, very short. The lead pastor in this city was like 4'10".
Wow.
The one that had Emmett, 4'10", defied the government, wouldn't let them gentrify D.C. One black man, not even 5 feet tall, probably weighed 100 pounds, told the government to go to hell, the Department of Transportation to go to hell. He even, when they tried to kill black people with swine flu shots, this little 4'10" black pastor told Health and Human Services to go to hell. And the effort to vaccinate our people through pressure stopped in the 1970s. I was alive. Little teeny tiny people working together can get anything done. The thing that I'm finding lacking is the old boomers just want to kiss ass. The Xers my age are either sorrier than the millennials because they're the ones that made them, and or they haven't learned how to talk to younger people. The ones that come after the millennials, the Z's, don't know anything because the millennials didn't give them anything, because the millennials didn't get anything from the X's of my generation.
Teach.
And the boomers that are still around fuck us all.
Teach.
But if some of us decide to do that, like prostitution failed in D.C., and they claim it's my testimony out of like 400 people that did it, I'm shocked, but God can use any of us. A lot of us have lost the will to live. A lot of black people are suicidal. You see an explosion in suicide in teens and have lost the will to live. We have to have a vision. It says without a vision in Hosea 4:6, people perish. There has to be a vision of family, of black men and black women working together, loving each other, caring for each other. And trust me, because I know this from being a teacher. Once the young people found out you weren't trying to have sex with them, one of the most embarrassing things was a young man who liked my class. I kept trying to get him to come to my office. He wouldn't come. He had a brother killed, and I could tell he wanted to go out and kill people, and I was thinking, he's going to die. How's this mama going to deal with two deaths, right? And finally, I got him to my office, and he got upset. And what it came down to is that he thought or he was suspicious of whether I was trying to like make a gay overture to him. Once he found out I wasn't trying to do anything like that, he started crying in my office profusely. And I started to figure out, okay, well, I'm not a booty bandit. What do I do now? And the guy says, you're the first adult person in the educational setting I've dealt with that didn't try to get sex out of me.
Wow.
I was so humiliated. How do you speak to that? But I do know if you're sincere and you have God with you and you find some other people, it can happen. Let me let this other person speak. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hog the time.
No problem. We're going to let my boy King Dwayne come on in and ask a question.
Hey, good evening, Lord Ty. Good evening, Dr.
Good evening.
Short.
Nice to meet you.
It's been very, very, very good dialogue. And I'm grateful as always to be on the panel because over here at BVNZ Internet Radio, I'm grateful for Laura Ty to open up the platform.
Appreciate it.
Tough topics and lay them flat on the table. And some of the things that even you have been voicing, Dr. Short, are a lot of the things that get laid out in the forefront on this platform, because we believe, and that's why I rock with Laura Ty, because he advocates for, and he puts the magnifying glass on accountability. And I'm a big proponent of that. And I'm going to always be an advocate of accountability, especially being a young man. I'm 40 years old, a father, a divorcee, someone who is a man of faith. Heard you quoting scriptures, things like that. There's so many things that we lay out here to deal with. And one of the things that has been heavy on our minds is just, as you talked about it a great deal tonight, and that's family, because it is very broken. It has been filled with toxicity. And one of the reasons why we are so accountable to both men and women is the fact that I'm a preacher of the learning how to be a husbandman. In other words, the scripture lays that out as being a master of soil. And in the dynamic of the man and the woman being together, having left parents, the most important reason the scriptures say in Genesis to leave your parents is to leave to your wife, because you're going to make one flesh, and that one flesh obviously is your children.
Right.
The only one flesh that you can make. And you come together and you are unified in teaching that child and making that child a priority so that you can pass them legacy.
Right.
Now they are your harvest, because as a man who is disciplined with seed, you have become master of soil. You have become a master farmer to understand how to not just sow seed to a vagina, but to sow seed into a spirit properly. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to get back your purpose amplified and magnified. Mm-hmm. Because that's what the woman does. She multiplies anything you give her. And so I'm a very high proponent of the family being together, because as a young man who started out about a couple of years being in the foster home because my 21-year-old mother abandoned my brother and I for days in Delaney Project in Gary, across from Roosevelt High School and not too far from Jackson's old house.
Oh, no, I've been by the Delaney.
That's the school you're talking about. That's the school you're talking about, Dr. Short.
No. I know where you're talking about.
Yeah. So
that's off of the main street that's in the big, long street that goes through Gary.
Yes, sir. Yes,
right.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
I'm grateful to God, because in that situation that could have been so bad, God allowed my grandmother and my grandparents, my grandpa, to step up and to do something that they really didn't have to do, which is be responsible for children that my mother and my father had. And so for me to grow up and have my encounter with the Most High because of the sacrifices that my grandparents made, one of the things that I have learned becoming a man is that God showed me through his spirit that just like you need a tutor for math or science or whatever you may be weak in education, You got to get a suitor for manhood if you're weak in that area, if you know you lack something. Because once we graduated out of innocence, out of child, that child spirit, and then now, you know, the Bible says that you think like a man now. You lay down childish things. So now it is up to you to do a self-inventory check as an adult and call out the weaker things in yourself so you're not hating people. Or, you know, people like to use that word hater. Well, you're only a hater if you are not taking priority in being self-accountable to build up and work on yourself. And so now you stand back as a spectator because you see people working without being themselves, and you are not your real self, so it builds up jealousy. And one of the things that I've learned about the nature of the woman is that they're galvanized by boredom and jealousy, and that's just something that I've learned. And there's all that at the same time. There's things that, you know, if a male is not graduated to a man, you know, he's going to be galvanized by a lot of ignorance because he doesn't understand how to be the master farmer. In other words, he doesn't know how to be a Mr. Miyagi to his Daniel son, which is his woman. And that's one of the biggest, most important things that we talk about over here is, you know, the fact that a man that is going to truly step back into position and fix that, you've got to learn how to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. And so those things that you go through in your 20s, bumping your head and mm-hmm. finding your way in your 30s and your money, however you're building up that momentum into your 40s, you can then start thinking about marrying, having children, because now you have something to actually teach them because you've weathered. And these are experiences that these are things I've learned from experiences because I have sons and I have twin daughters.
Wow.
And the main thing that I want my sons to understand is that you're going to have some dick discipline. You're going to have to be very disciplined with how you spread your seed. You should not be out here like that, just, you know, frivolous with that, because you have to, number one, know the state you live in, the rules, the laws, the world you live in, the rules, the laws.
Thanks.
You may not understand what marriage completely means, but these women in this modern day society understand what marriage really is. And so one of the latest things that we talked about, matter of fact, last week, is, you know, because you brought out the bastardization. Mm-hmm. And it's facts, because one of the things that is a very uncomfortable thing that, you know, is needed.
There are
mothers, bitter mothers that, you know, are fearful that not having a good relationship with these fathers, that their daughters, their sons, especially their daughters, can actually do better, learn from the mother's mistakes, and have better relationships, and they get in the way. And they don't understand that that comes through our teaching and our leadership when it's the right type of man. And so I had to correct that because there were some things said, and Lord Ty don't go for the lack of accountability.
Right.
We're going to be accountable about everything, because the main thing is we're trying to get these brothers together. And if you have to call out the shenanigans of the modern day woman to put up the red flags for the young men to understand what they need to do, then it's necessary to call out the things, but we're not bashing. Never been bashing.
Well, yeah, and I support that 100%. Okay, I don't know.
Keep going. That's the radio. We recording on the radio. Keep going. It's not a problem.
So the thing is that it says be equally yoked in the scripture, which means that everybody, male and female, are like a team of oxen pulling a heavy load. And it has to be equally done in such a way that the task is accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what I have been doing, and I'll continue to do it, and I love the fact that you're doing it, and if we can get a new dialogue, we keep looking for reparations from white people. We need to do reparations for one another.
Teach.
So my life should be a reparation to, like I said, the woman that was
she was beaten by the guy, and then he shot her in such a way as to kill her and the baby within, say, a few weeks. I wish I could undo that. And I didn't do the shooting or lessen the baby. I didn't sell the drugs. But this is why, you know, my mother here, and you should have her, and she has a group of elder sisters who are professional certified counselors to talk to the women and to men. My mother's specialty is in counseling men who've been the victims of molestation by women and by men. We have to repair one another. If we were repaired and in the right position, there's nothing under the sun that these people have that could keep us from getting what we justly do. And brother, I just had someone accuse me of being a coon because I'm involved with conservative causes. And I think the person is stupid. You've never heard me say don't have weaponry to protect yourself. You've never heard me say we don't need our own land. You've never heard me say we shouldn't be organized. We should, right? You'll never hear.
People so quick to call somebody a coon.
Well, no, this person, they saw something, and I'll be very direct with you. I should hold it up. I have a book that I'm doing that's done, and I have another one coming out. This is Upside Down.
Yeah, I'm going to buy that book. I'm going to buy that one.
And please share it. It's good. It's a good, it's lots and lots.
Oh, I got it right here.
And lots and lots of history. I have another book I want to write about. I'm writing about violence against women. I've taken a sabbatical. I was supposed to finish it a month ago. I'm behind. I need to get on it. And there are other things. My mother is in a group called Voices Against Trafficking. I got kicked off of Radio 1 because I went after one of the show hosts because I said if black men were serious about human trafficking and our women being abused, we would have a moratorium on buying pornography and going to strip clubs. We give them the liquidity to enslave our women and girls and sometimes males. And adult entertainment is a euphemism for the sexual enslavement of women and girls and vulnerable males. Are you hearing me? We have to stop this. We even should have movements against prison rape. We need to have a movement against the serial pedophilia and rape of children and child and family services. Laquan McDonald was the victim of serial Mexican-American rapist in Chicago's child and family services. We wonder why so many people are sexually confused. We have an epidemic of pedophilia. We have an epidemic of sexual slavery, black females being targeted primarily in many places. D.C. is a hub of sexual enslavement.
Mm-hmm.
Prince George's County, Charlotte, Atlanta, Baltimore, wherever they're blacks, it's a hub for sexual slavery. And a lot of brothers who want to bust a nut are either buying porn, which contributes to erectile dysfunction, and or go to strip clubs where they don't even know the age of the girl that danced on them.
Mm.
Right? Well, my dick felt good. It was all good, right?
Wow.
As long as it's got a hole. We black men have got to become intolerant of this behavior. We shouldn't be funding it. You know, all pornography, my one of my mentors, a Jewish woman who died from this vaccination shot, massive heart attack, Dr. Judith Reisman, taught me that all pornography is homosexual because it is men coordinating fantasies for male instead of male-female interaction, meaning that a man has actors, male and female, and he's telling the woman what to do to appeal to the male who will watch it. So in reality, the porn that everybody thinks is so cool and neutral is in reality gay-related because you have, in fact, many of the people in the porn thing are gay. They are making perverse and distorted concepts of what love and sexual intimacy is for other people that's not actually that. And so as a result, this is another thing. Black men have got to get the bull by the horns. By the way, I'm not anti-sex. I'm not anti-family. I'm not anti-people with pretty booties. But the next person on Instagram, if they send me a picture with the behind facing, with them looking over their shoulder, it would be nice to know, did you go to college? At least you have a GED, baby. You know, I don't like flat behinds. I think they got that right. But I like an educated mind on top of the spine where the big booty is. And we could be, if black men got together and said no to the Khazarians, to the knockoff Hebrews, perverting our music, hijacking our culture, okay, we can turn this around. You know, I had a fight because, what's his name, Talib Kweli or whatever the hell it is.
Talib Kweli, yeah.
He accused one of my sisters of being a Nazi, and we dealt with, you know, because my thing is, you know, you support Africa Bambaataa. You think it's wrong for him to be stripped of his universal leader position in the Zulu Nation after 3 decades of molesting boys and girls? Where are you coming from, brother? What does that say about you? They didn't find him. They didn't put him in jail. They didn't bring charges against him. They just asked him, don't represent us because of this scandal. And you object to it. How are you living, sir? You're Dave Chappelle's friend. I don't hear none of these people crying out for Dave. I hear white comedians. Dave Chappelle didn't come down on gay folks. I fell asleep watching the show. Dave's stuff, he was saying stuff more or less to some degree true. I mean, it wasn't even funny. It's like matter-of-factly. He didn't even say hate gays, kill gays, brutalize gays, nothing like that. Simply saying being black is not being gay, and male and female is a fact.
But
all of these RBG rappers and other people for Chappelle, whether he's a white boy at heart from Ohio by way of D.C. or not, why didn't they back him? Where are the black coon pastors? You know, I come from preachers all through my family. They claim that term is somehow related to us as well. Another black preacher, a decent one, didn't live long enough for me. Can you imagine that turn that led to the Civil War? Damn. Look,
revolt.
We, all of this stuff that we're talking about is interconnected to one issue. Black people are not free. We're not free. We're not free of this system. And without God, we're not free from sin.
Jeez.
We can't carry all of the hate from all of the America's the most diverse nation. We have people that hate us from all over the world come here and us be away from God, drugging, whoring, fagging, funking, dyking, studying, right? Pedophilia. We won't survive. I mean, just read the Book of Kings. God's elect people, whenever they got themselves together, nobody could mess with them. But when they were separated, in fact, all of those kings that failed tended to be studs with their seed everywhere. You'll rarely hear the scripture say anything nice about folks having multiple women. It says he took more wives, like he's fucking other people.
Most definitely.
But when you have a holy person in the text with one wife, and it's a good woman, it just does nothing but honor the man and woman. Abraham and Sarah, they were together. That's the power couple of the text, right? Joseph and Mary, one man, one woman. If we could just get more brothers to commit to this style, it would work. And by the way, I don't hate polygyny in situations of warfare or places where you just can't do anything. In fact, maybe that might work for a season for us, but talk to anybody from Africa and everywhere else where they hate their other brothers and sisters from the different mom and all of this, right? In fact, all over this country, we have black brothers and sisters and cousins killing each other because nobody really knows. I just learned 2 weeks ago, I got family in Alabama, in Ohio, in Texas, in Mississippi. They're all over the damn country.
Right.
I've never, ever, I mean, just, I'm thinking, and I've been looking at genealogy with my family 40 years. So, and I come from a family of Rolling Stones. I mean that. I'm just, every now and then people come up. In fact, when I got my first DNA test, I got a call from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out either my grandmother or my grandfather had maybe they did. They had a child that nobody ever heard of in like 100 years until I got a phone call because this sister submitted a DNA test with the same answers I was trying to get a week after I did, same company. Imagine that. This lady's never heard of me. I don't know if her. And by the way, that shows you God's still working. If we were trying to get the answers, it comes together. I've been trying to figure out, do we have any other family? And one of my friends says, you know what, I should have told you about this guy I work with. He has the same name as you. And I says, this name is so rare. And I sent him pictures of my grandfather. Says, yeah, we related. Your grandfather looks like he could be a brother to my grandfather. They have the same slanted eyes, same big head, all this stuff. This is
hey, big head.
Yeah, so you know what I'm saying? But we can come together to understand that, like you said about the dick control, the seed.
Yes, so, absolutely.
That when we make these kids, if we don't have a superstructure of a family, the kids have no legacy. They don't really have a reason to exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my cousin who died, who's matriarch of a family, we had a brother and sister who was separated because the family's all busted up, and they met and they married, and they had children so irrevocably retarded that this brother found out he married his sister at Morgan State. I think they went to Morgan State, fell in love. And they had these kids, the kids retarded, the teeth and the head. And that's my family. Somebody, a brother, married his sister because he didn't know who he was. Nobody knew anything. I heard about a case in Mississippi where folks were trying to have children, and the husband, the man and woman, met in college. They went to the same college, never heard of each other, never said nothing. We're instantly drawn to each other. Fell madly in love. They both had grown up like being adopted, and they both had a tragic car crash that had killed their parents.
Mm.
They both had this in common, but they never said, maybe you're my sister, until they got to the doctor and the man found out he's married to his sister.
Mm.
We have a lot of mental illness in the black community. I used to live down in Tennessee to the south of you. You know, there are a lot of folks who are retarded getting those crazy checks in places like Arkansas and Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of black folks are crazy because they've married first cousins, brothers and sisters. And you wonder why the kids are so crazy and the cops keep shooting. A lot of this has to do with sorry-ass black men who don't keep up with their kids, and brothers and sisters or first cousins marry each other. And you have all of these crazy people. If you add that with the fluoride and the cadmium and the manganese and the lead and the water and the air and the food test and the music, it's a guarantee that we're going to have a high rate of death and suffering and misery and crime, addiction and depression. You realize if you have depression in your family, and you have two kids, they get separated, they both get married, and then they're going to have another genotype and phenotype of depression the other generation because you bred some depression on top of depression again.
Mm-hmm.
Recall the story that Isaac Abraham said, don't stud my boy out. Nobody in his hood. I don't want to. You take his dick to another place, find something up. You can't screw nobody in the radius of 50 miles. Do you know in southern towns? That's why I hear someone, they say they're from Ohoski, or they say they're from, like, Richard Roundtree is probably a cousin of mine because, well, I claim him because the Roundtree family has a graveyard full of family members of mine, which means the guy that played Chef, okay, is some kind of cousin. Right. When I heard this name, I learned that this person, I learned there's a person that is Roundtree that went to school in Chicago that married this woman who's a famous lawyer named W. Roundtree, right? One of the best black lawyers ever. You realize, once I realized her husband's from Carolina, I says, ooh, I could be related to Richard Roundtree.
Mm.
And turned out his town's about 45 miles from one town, 35 miles. And by the way, families oftentimes would send people to the next town over to meet somebody because you couldn't screw anyone in the town that you're from because you're too closely related. So about 40, 50 miles, so, you know, you don't hit somebody close to you, which means that you can go to an area and do, draw a circle at 100 miles, and a whole bunch of those people are all related to each other, even if the name is different. I've never heard Roundtree mentioned in my life other than Dovey and Richard. I don't know. I thought maybe that was a made-up name. Do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I was going to say, Professor Short, I got a little story to tell. I was dating this one young lady in 2015, and her family, they all from Detroit. Ben Arbor, Michigan. So I went home with her to Ben Arbor, Michigan, and they do, like, this family reunion Thanksgiving-style dinner. But one thing that they did that I really was impressed by, they, you know, after everybody been eating for a while, after everybody got about two or three plates, they get up in front of the whole party and say, all right, what we going to do? We're going to introduce ourselves because we don't want y'all having sex with one of y'all cousins. And the thing is, there's no laughing, there's no giggling because everybody understand. And they start introducing, even like the visitors, tell who they are. So now it's like, all right, if you want to mingle around, you'll know who everybody is. And the thing is, one of the uncles, he said that he almost married his sister. Sure did. Till she told him who her father was, and he said, that's my father, too.
When I went to UVA, the one girl that I liked was named Karen. I met Karen at the family reunion the following year after I left UVA. And she was girlfriend of mine. I never bothered her because it was someone else's girlfriend, but I liked her the most. But she was my cousin. The one person I liked at the school was my cousin. And so black men need to become very serious about lineage. They need to become very interested in what, who you screw and why you screw it. Black folks need to stop fucking, and they need to start being in love and romantic, okay? That's the other thing.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that.
You really love somebody, you're not going to leave them with the kid. You're not going to do it.
And I don't think that's taught enough. I don't think love is even taught enough. What's taught enough is transactional.
Yes, we're very transactional. That's the very term I use with people. But you know what? It could change.
Oh, absolutely.
This little program that you got, we could do once. I'm so mad that the National Archive is closed, but every brother that could should get an Ancestry.com.
Okay.
And they need to at least, this is what I did with, I had a summer program for the D.C. Summer Youth Employment Program, and one of the things I did was I took all the young people down to the National Archives. And in fact, it really messed with some people because some folks initially couldn't go back. His family's so busted up, he didn't have any roots. But I was able to help one. I helped other people. We eventually found something, but it was really hard at first. And for him to recognize it's like you aren't connected to anything. One girl that was so excited was able to trace all the way back to the 1870s in her family. You could tell how excited they were. There's something to me beyond right now. We need to, when I go in for genealogy, usually I never see other black men. I see white women, I see white men, everybody. Black men have to stop being MIA in their own struggle. That's why I hate the whole sports thing. I don't hate the playing of basketball or football or any of that. But my issue is, why do we focus so much attention on just maybe 2,000 black men when there are 25 million or more of us in this country? It's just those few.
Come on and teach.
In fact, the sports is a type of masculinity pornography where, man, you know what? Hey, Tyrone, that dude, he going to make $600 million if he stay with this. And he's got a shoe line. Man, he's so popular, he could have a condom line, man. I'm just looking at this. And I hate going to the barbershop because people think black men think talking about what other black men accomplish is basically racehorses and barnyard animals to white billionaires is important and powerful and empowering. And in reality, it's insulting. There are people who are better players than some of the folks that you see who wouldn't do a blowjob or didn't go to the right white school, or they're threatening. Remember, if you saw that movie that Chadwick Boseman played, and they were looking at who black could we get to come into the National Baseball League, and what they did.
Oh, you're talking about 42, Jackie Robinson. Oh, I love that movie.
The movie's called 42. But see, Jackie Robinson got paid 40% of the money that white folk got paid, if that much, maybe 30%, which means Jackie Robinson helped destroy the Black Baseball League and didn't even get paid decent money. At least the coons we have now that spend all their money on dope and white women, that at least they're making good money and they give it all to their their Jewish representation, right? I mean, a lot of them, you know, like Prince's money is going to go to his representation. And if Michael Jackson's family's been careful, thank God for Jacqueline Jackson, his mom. God bless her. She's a wise woman, one of my favorite people.
And Professor Short, I wanted to ask you real quick before we get moving that direction. Are you familiar with a show that Professor Henry Louis Gates did about the ancestry? Are you familiar? Because it was people on there, they was upset when they found out they had ancestry in Europe. I just found that they kind of...
Well, here's the thing. My problem with Henry Louis Gates' show is that Henry Louis Gates is doing it in the first place.
Ooh.
Henry Louis Gates is the self-hating, crippled Negro who hates the rank-and-file black people. I can say that's a Harvard graduate. And rumor is my mentor, who died in 2019, said that he was screwing his students.
Mm.
So, I mean, and what kind of black man joins basically an all-white fraternity, and they take him as a mascot? White men are comfortable with defective black men. Either they are gay, or they're passive, or they're weak, or they've got Coke bottle glasses that they can't see through. White men are not comfortable with healthy, rounded, masculine, strong black men. They don't like it. Even the black
intimidated.
Those dudes, oh, I love my coach, and I just play the game. You know, a white guy can get up and say, I'm the best, with the exception of Muhammad Ali. For the most part, only the rappers sit up and boast about how great they are, and that's why the music industry is dead, because most of them have the talent. They can't play. They can't dance. And a lot of them can't fuck.
Well, you know, they have dick intimidation.
Yeah, well, it's not – dick is representation of power in and of itself. Okay, it's Dr. Francis Cresswell saying – would say that people are afraid of being overrun. And I would be afraid, in fact, that you call it homeland insecurity, because there's nothing secure about a race. But my point is that the athletes and the others don't serve the kind of purpose that they could, and they probably won't. And ultimately what they have ends up in the hands of people who hate our guts. And when you learn about the CTE and you learn about the ones who don't become the highest earning ones, who can't get out of bed because their cartilage in their knees is torn up or their ankles or so forth, a lot of those people are destroyed. We could do better. We could own our own league. We could own our own stuff. We don't need them. In fact, we are idolaters. My problem is a lot of black people claim to be Christians. I don't meet many black Christians. I meet niggas that go to church that follow a white faggot who has been giving their money to people who don't speak up when cops kill us in real time.
Come on and teach.
Camera phone. This I can't stand. I don't go to church much. I'd rather watch an old episode of Batman or Jerry Lewis movie.
Wait, I thought you was a pastor.
I have a fellowship.
Oh, okay.
The proper day, which is Sabbath or Shabbat, when is on Saturday. It's a little homosexual emperor worship cult called Roman Catholicism that changed it to Sunday. We don't even have the day right to be honor God. So we had the African, Asiatic thing of doing it on Shabbat or Sabbath. And these whiteys who started slave trading in Africa in the 3rd century A.D., the Romans who had slavery before, Spartacus, these people hijack a black religion and put it on the day for their little pagan worship for their god who likes growing little boys. How could I really honor God if I'm going to pray to him on the day of folks who don't even believe he exists that are conspiring to destroy his true faith and religion? Help me. I'm not an Adventist, but I am a Sabbatarian. And in fact, I feel close to God doing it on the day that I'm supposed to versus the day that they moved it to as a means to spite Almighty God. Now, there's so much we can do. I would like to see black sports teams where there's teamwork, because you don't see a lot of teamwork. You see niggas ball hog and want to fight each other. Have you ever seen a black team play a white team? Black dudes be trying to kill each other. They don't even want to play the white team. They want to hurt the next black dude. Well, I'm the strongest dude. We have to get rid of this black male bitchy prima donna concept that I don't need the next person. Because when he's a bitch prima donna with his guys in the ball court, he's a bitch prima donna towards his woman that he doesn't need her, no matter how many babies' asses she wipes the poop out of and take care of them. We have to rediscover the need for mutuality, reciprocity. I need you. And Steven, whatever that little dude, I hate him. I like his clothes.
Come on, Steven.
Yes, I hope he's been vaccinated. I hope he gets 50 booster shots.
Oh, he would go in on that dude.
I'm going to pray for him to have more spike protein than the whole state of New York. I wish he would shut the hell up. Go back to island he came from.
Yeah, he's talking all that mess.
Well, he's a foreigner. These people don't like.
I didn't know that Stephen A. Smith was a foreigner, but I know he's talking too much mess about Kwame Brown, Kyrie Irving, and
Harris and his sister. Why are we honoring this hole? I mean, look, Superhead gets better blowjobs. I think if that's what qualifies her to be vice president,
child of Superhead,
I'd rather have Superhead be vice president than Kamala Harris. At least she didn't knock niggas up in jail, but she did make them come 2 or 3 times. I'd rather have Superhead be the vice president than Kamala Harris. At least Superhead's the real black woman.
Child of Superhead.
I'm not saying that I don't want an educated, but if they're going to put any old tramp, then it should be a black tramp we like.
Right. I'm with it. We all know about Kamala's. No, that man, I don't even want to say that. I ain't going to say that.
You mean Kamala. Say her name right. And her name is a lot like what she eats. I was saying to people that which kitchen utensil best reminds you of Kamala Harris's pussy?
We still on the show. Tap back in to the show.
Y'all give up?
No, we still on. We still on. Tap back in.
Okay. Y'all give up?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
A funnel?
Yes. Because everything goes into it. I mean, that's how she is. The woman's a hoe. I just talked to someone. She tried to pick a tramp, and she's foreign. She's not a black woman. I'm angry. Why is she? You know what? They're going to do this over and over and over again. And they're going to cut black women out of stuff. They're going to start putting, in Virginia right now, they had this Hispanic woman that looks like the Frito Bandito side piece who's running against this sister.
Frito Bandito.
A Jamaican-American woman. And they run these two women. Eventually, if they can do this, they're going to start over and over. They're going to use trans to replace black women. And they're going to start using these other women of color. What the hell is that?
They're trying to erase manhood.
Paid for anyone except for black women. It's none of my damn business. I had someone in divinity school come and I told them, you're white gay. You're white people's problem. I'm only concerned about black people that are gay. And I'm concerned hoping that they quit.
Dr. Short, we're going to bring in a young lady, Miss Cece. She might have a question for you. She's the youngest person on the panel. Cece, if you have any questions for Dr. Short, do it at this time.
She's muted. Was she muted?
Oh, yeah, I'm
have no questions, Ty. I'm in here chilling. Okay. I ain't got no questions.
You got no question, okay? Because I'm saying anything you might be struggling with, Dr. Short, hey.
Well, I will get some counselors. I don't ask something in my fellowship. I never ask people. Someone that they start telling me they hadn't had sex for like a year until such. And I told them, nigga, don't tell us this. I'm not trying to. I don't.
What are you talking about, Dave?
I don't ask people questions. If they come and they say they have an issue, I tell them if it's something that's like in my lane, I'll talk to you about it. If it's a woman, I want you to talk to two women. I'll get you a professional. I think it's unethical. That's the thing I hate about church, then that Babylonian bullshit. The preacher gets you to tell him something. Well, how many people have you slept with, Dwayne? And you say five. And then he'll get up and say, and some have even slept with five people.
Yeah, just putting people out, putting their business out like this.
To come off like they're clairvoyant.
Right.
I don't want to know. I don't ask. So if I bust your ass and I said something, the Most High gave it to me. Okay, I'm just saying to you, I gave a phone number to this lady who works for one of the senators that came by my house today, and I explained to her that this sister who you have to have on your show, who got put in jail for 6.5 years.
Please send her my way.
A year ago, I'll give you a number.
Okay.
21 years ago, I called her this month, and I told her, forgive me, sister. I feel really stupid, but it's in my heart to tell you that you're going to get released from jail before Christmas.
Dwayne.
You're going to get released from jail before Christmas this year. And she was in jail, and she's in Mariana, Florida, in the Woman's Center, and we are on the phone praying. I said, you're going to get released before Christmas, and I apologize. I can't prove it, but it's in my spirit to tell you. You know what happened? She got released December 21st.
Before Christmas.
And I told her, now, if God gives you that, God gave it. But I wouldn't say, well, what your lawyer's saying, and, well, let's look at the paperwork. I think we need intimacy in the black community. I think we don't need to know. I don't want to know. I had someone tell me about their wife having an STD. I knew his wife caught something. You go on a working conference for 10 days in San Francisco. I said to him, that's a long time. that's a work conference?
Mm.
I said, okay, brother. When she came back, he said, she's sick. I said, okay. I kept trying to change the subject. No, she's really sick. I said, okay. She's really sick.
You ain't trying to know, right? You ain't trying to.
No, I don't, because what can I do? If I learned, if all of y'all had AIDS and you told me, if I can't get rid of the virus for me to know.
Right.
Except if I was a caregiver for you or a pharmacist or if I can't solve the problem, I don't need to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not interesting to me, problems that I can't help. Maybe sometimes you need someone to listen, but if I can't do anything, I don't want to know, because all you're going to do is be unhappy or titillated, like, you know,
do people with AIDS eat Häagen-Dazs? You know, you want to ask them questions, right?
Häagen-Dazs.
You know, people have stupid. When people are nosy,
thanks.
They want. I don't want to know, because I can barely. Doesn't it say in the scripture, work out your own
salvation?
And
yeah.
In other words, I'm fucked up before God.
Most definitely.
I'm barely not get burnt up and destroyed for even the shit I think about, right? The Messiah says even the stuff you think about. If I'm thinking about this, sister guy, I saw you looking at that dark skin girl on the show. You didn't look away.
That's a weakness though in me. I ain't gonna lie.
So then also bring intimacy back.
Yes.
I don't have conversations with any brother about anything that happens between me and a black woman. I don't
know
who you are.
No.
Thanks.
I would deny it when they say you're gay. Yeah. Okay. I don't want the woman's business out there. I don't like that. I hate it. Let me tell you, my parents had a ministry. Let me show my hair. I'm going to be real and just be wild. Look. my hair needs to breathe. I don't care. I mean. I'm going to protest Roland Martin because he don't have no damn hair.
Oh.
No jack-o'-lantern looking at it. So.
Wait, you call that nigga jack-o'-lantern?
I'm sorry. I love Look.
Appreciate it, Houston bread. Appreciate it.
If we learn that if we can keep secrets, you're trustworthy. You understand me? The kind of trust. Look, the thing is, I'll tell you something. My parents had a ministry to gay people. The thing about gay folk is gay folks, they talk too fucking much. They will tell, I mean, I saw King Dwayne, and he was with it's your own son. I saw him with this young boy. They were at the Foot Locker. He probably showed him his foot long, right?
Just making up,
it's your son, because everything is on blast, okay? If you really love or care about people, because I'm telling you, Chadwick Boseman's mentor, I knew about him. They called him Miss Malone. He used to screw students, or that's what was alleged by the people who hang out. I've seen this stuff in the 70s, right, before Chadwick even came to Howard. And these people just put people's business over. He was tricking in the park last week. He did this over. He does in the bathroom in Slow Hall. And they would just tell you all the stuff people do.
Oh,
and
gossipy.
It's like, well, no, they were telling the truth.
Oh, okay.
Who did do this? He went up to Upshur Street. Upshur Street was where people used to get treated for venereal disease.
Oh.
In D.C., right? He was up on 14th and Upshur. And that was hit to the person needed to get a penicillin shot. The first time I really heard about people boasting about all the people they screwed were gay people. And I associate, and I'm not picking on gay folks, it's cheap. If you really liked someone, you wouldn't tell anybody how good it was and how often it happened because you respected that person. And I don't see, in fact, all of this part of the whole thing for black men and this dick control thing is, since we don't have enterprise, although we could have enterprise, and all the other things that men do that are creative that we don't do, like industrial arts and vocations, because the unions conspire to get black men out of organized labor and so forth, then the one thing people can talk about is the black women that they have been with or lied about being with. And it's the most psychologically violent thing that happens that people think is cool. It's to constantly broadcast, I fucked Diana Ross and the Supremes. That's why she left. I mean, she couldn't even walk on the stage after I broke her back up. And it's just all of this boasting about, you know, man.
Yeah, you got to keep that on the low.
Let me tell you something, man. My dick was so big, I had to buy Crisco because KY jelly didn't come in tubes large enough to lose my sister.
You about to fry some chicken up in there.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this is really finger looking good. Ask my lady, right? All of
well,
this.
She was thinking about chicken.
Yeah, well, it's extra crispy since she got them crabs, but I ate those off too.
Whoa.
They seasoning down there. These guys sit up and talk this stupid, dumb fuck blackmail conversations that mean not a goddamn thing.
Mm.
And if it's a woman, you ruin her. Everybody knows, I've seen situations where a lady met a dude, my bitch, you gonna give me some pussy. I'm gonna tell everybody I fuck you anyway. And then they tell, man, I hit that, man. I rocked it.
I'm gonna say this, Dr. Short. I'm gonna say, CeCe, I consider CeCe my little sister. So I love when I have, you know, older people older than me that's on the platform giving wisdom, and I really be want her to come on so she can get her little wisdom. So that's why
I'm honest.
Wait, what'd you say, Dr. Short?
I'm honest. I'm not freaky. I don't live a wicked.
No,
life.
But I'm saying you're giving out some great knowledge tonight,
I'm
and like yeah.
About how these stupid people talk.
Yeah.
You're not gonna have a conversation. If there's a lady I like, I'm not gonna tell you anything other than her name, rank, and serial number. You figure out what, if you think so, that's your business.
Right, right.
Never come and talk to me about that because it's not. I have friends that are married. I don't ask, how many times do I have sex since you got married? It's what?
Mm-mm.
What right do I have to know that?
Right.
Homosexuality, man. That's a pornography. They're trying to be get the pornographic image in their head.
Yeah,
right?
Most definitely.
Get that out of here, man.
CeCe, I'm gonna keep you on, CeCe, in case you want to say something, because that's why you're here.
But all I want to say to you is that I'm thinking that I would love to introduce you to people who can
absolutely
chat, in particular sisters, because brothers will talk. I mean, they'll boast, man, you know, King Kong, man. He was short downstairs. That's why he was messing with Fay Wray. He wasn't really able to take on to, you know, a gorilla his size. That's why he was into white women. And I just hear this really stupid conversation.
Right, that's crazy.
And I'm talking about black men into their 70s and 80s. Look, I'm a Howard graduate. There were dudes in their 80s and 90s, 80s at Howard, banging the young girls on staff. I don't know how they even did that. I mean, they must have had a pacemaker in their dick or something.
I know a lot of them having babies in their 80s.
No. Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, and they be boasting, man, you know, they call me Superfly with my social security check come in. The young girls that work in the facility, man, that young girl, she thought she didn't know me till she realized I was a deputy fire chief, that I make 6 figures a year. Right? You know,
sure you
saying
can, Lena.
Anyway, no, someone wants to join. I just, all this talk, I'm not saying people aren't going to do it, but do you know other cultures, they don't do stuff quite like we do, not as much.
Right.
It's not seen as proper. I'm not saying that we can't be honest about things, okay? But even in the old raunchy blues, they would do double entendres, so kids wouldn't necessarily know what these people were singing about. So what's her name? Bessie Smith is singing about Jelly Roll.
Mm.
People don't know she's talking about someone that's, you know, private.
Mm.
Now they just put it all out there. There's a degenerate rapper that Lil Wayne brought in. Have you heard of Fly Young Red, who came out with Throw That Girl Pussy, Boy Pussy?
I heard that song about some boy pussy, but I'm not listening to that mess.
I mean, but he's talking about eating doo-doo and it tastes like M&M's.
Oh.
I don't care if the sister thinks it's nasty. I'm trying to say this is the kind of trash that shouldn't be tolerated.
All right, I put the link in there, Lena Ray. I put the link in there.
You know, Dr. Short, I got a question for you because Ty, you know, I often commend Lord Ty for his topic, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
he made a post that we, you know, we talked about, you know, most of the days the show talking about it. But the thing, I want to ask you a question, because I lay this out the top often, and I tell him that there is a way for men to carry themselves like stray dogs.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, no dictus, no wisdom, no teaching, no knowledge, but, you know, you're trying to lay down with these females, but you have nothing to teach them. When
oh yes, you do. You teach them that they can get parasites and STD, drug resistant STDs. They can teach you some stuff.
Okay, but of course I'm talking about what a real man. I'm talking about the image of God. When a real man is in his rightful position, he is. We're not protecting our woman, our wife, by putting up our fisticuffs all the time. We're protecting them by the warning, by the knowledge. The same things that moderating over the children in the home. We're going to teach them. And one of the first things that you can experience is when you've given your child knowledge and they mess up a couple of times because they didn't listen, but at the same time, they learn because they didn't. They're his. And you can't quite protect them from kind of step out the fence, so to speak, when you have warned them, because when the scriptures say spare the rod, spoil the child, is not just talking about whooping them, talking about when you spare your warning too. God's going to hold you accountable for every time you spared your voice of warning.
Right.
And that's what you see today, a spoiled generation, an entitled generation, because they have not been warned. They have not been taught, as you talked about earlier in the show. They have not been properly passed.
But I also have seen people taught to do. I got some neighbors up the street. I think the woman's dead, but I remember her giving weed to her 3-year-old.
Oh, and man.
Smoke.
That's great.
And the summer before last, one of my crazy neighbors was trying to teach her 3 or 4-year-old that he was gay. I told my mother about it. And why is the grandmother trying to tell her grandson he's gay?
This day and time.
Well, but the point is, so I've seen people taught to be bad. So it's not. So I've actually seen people they take their kids in the shoplift. Maybe that doesn't happen in Gary, but it still happened in.
Oh yeah, they shoplift in Gary.
I'm not talking about giving the kids lunch. My neighbor used to have.
Yep. They do it.
Dope. She would do lookout. So I've seen.
They do it.
I've seen people. Sometimes it's the mothers.
Oh, most definitely.
Teach people how to make crack. People, you learn this stuff at home. So people are trained up in the way they should go.
Mm-hmm.
For wickedness. In fact, the reason for marriage in and of itself is the creation of godly offspring. You know, I always point people to the Book of Wisdom. Are you familiar with the Book of Wisdom and the Apocrypha?
I've heard of the Apocrypha. I need to get it.
I don't own the Apocrypha.
No other reason than to, let me see if I can, to read the Song of Solomon, not Song of Solomon, forgive me, the Apocrypha, and what's this thing called? It's Apocrypha, Wisdom of Solomon, Part 4, and they talk about, hold on 1 second, when you read what it says, and I read this on my fellowship every now and then. Book of Wisdom. Let me see if I can get it. And I read this a little bit of it. It's very, I have to say, all black men need to read it. Hold on. All black men need to read that, because if they did, and they understood, if you have a child and they're not loved and they're not, you literally condemn that child to a very dangerous existence.
Mm.
Okay, that's a very dangerous existence that we put on our young people.
Yes.
Hold on 1 second. Wisdom of Solomon.
Yeah, part of it, I believe if our men were disciplined with how they spread this seed, then they will actually be in the home. There's a lot of men not in the home because
accelerate. See, part of what I call it, women do it and men do it. mm-hmm. Pussy jousting and dick jousting.
Mm-hmm. And you the wrong woman.
Dick jousting is I want to prove my dick is bigger than yours.
Mm-hmm.
I consider that kind of gay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I want you to know how much dick action I get when you're a man? Why are we doing that?
Right.
Why do you need to know? They're dudes who act like they have an RFD chip in your prefix of your penis, man. I know you got some last night, man. I know you were there. Why are you coming ask?
Hey, why are you worried?
Because he's interested in the life of your dick. Tell him my dick doesn't need a biographer. It's already got one. It's me. Okay. I've got exclusive rights to the story.
Yeah.
Your own, right?
That's that simp talk, man. That's that simp talk.
Okay, I'm going to bring the young lady in, Dr. Short.
Well, let me read some of this, though. Solomon. It is better to have no children than have virtue, for the memorial thereof is immortal because it is known with God and with men. When it is present, men take example at it, and when it is gone, they desire it and weareth a crown, and triumpheth forever, having gotten the victory, striving for undefiled rewards. Listen to this. But the multiplying brood of the ungodly shall not thrive, nor take deep rooting from bastard slips, nor lay any fast foundation. For though they flourish in the branches for a time, yet standing not last, they shall be shaken with the wind, and through the force of the wind they shall be rooted out. Perfect branches shall be broken off, their fruit unprofitable, not ripe to eat, yea, meat for nothing. For the children begotten of unlawful beds are witnesses of the wickedness against their parents in their trial.
Mm.
It's not a very nice, I see why this book isn't referred to in church. Because a whole lot of folk in there have kids out of wedlock, and the pastor, you know, he's got his eyes more on the sisters' pocketbooks than on their souls.
Back. Greetings, Erica. Are you Lena Ray?
My name is actually, yeah, it's Erica. My name is actually Leanna.
Leanna, okay, my bad. Don't kill me.
Yeah, it's Leanna. No, I'm sorry. I just look like this. I'm very humble and
okay.
Was I supposed to not like that poem because I really liked it?
It's not a poem. It's from the Bible.
Oh.
Yeah, from the, okay. Yeah, the Apocrypha, right?
So no, because what I got from it was. Like if a woman can't bear children or a child, like basically the child or that's one child that doesn't have to struggle with the ways of life or what we have to go through. So that's a positive note of a woman that can't bear children to look at something or the situation, and she can still adopt or I do encourage
adopting all of that. It's basically saying that if you've righteous, no problem. You've got decency, honor, because there are a lot of folks like me that we don't have children, but I care about mm-hmm. children. I'm an advocate for women. You know, I know folks, they got a million women that don't care about one of them, got kids that don't care about one of them. But if you're righteous before God, that's what matters. In fact, let me share this with you. Look at this. Yea, the speedy, he has taken away. In other words, people hot in their drawers. lest the wickedness should go alter his understanding or deceit beguile his soul. Listen to this. For the bewitching of naughtiness doth obscure things that are honest. Talk about perversion and twisting. You know, your face of mine, your place of mine, right? And the wandering of concupiscence does undermine the simple mind. Concupiscence is just wanton, whoring, lusting, desiring. So the scripture is saying this simp, what I call penis slave simp type brother, man, you know, he thinks life is golf. There's always another hole. And that the end of this is destruction. And I want people to understand that now COVID, which can be transmitted sexually, it's now a new STD. And wow. Everybody has their own strain. So along with that, I'm telling you, you bust the nut and you have spike protein, because the spike protein goes down to you. If you have it in your ovaries, I mean, so these people have literally, with this thing, have created a bioweapon that can also be an STD.
Mm.
And see, they don't know how these spike proteins can connect to other cells or can mutate with other existing viral diseases or things, God knows. Someone just started talking about a disease that I've been watching. I haven't paid attention. I forget the name. But you know there's a disease that somebody can, like, poke you, and your behind start getting eaten up by this necrosis.
Oh. No,
so,
I ain't never heard of that.
You know, you could do a hand job on someone and your hands start disappearing.
Wow.
You know, Eddie Murphy was talking about that in his second comedy album. And we've got some people in our community.
Celibacy.
Tell you our real story. These guys back in 1985 that lived in Carver Hall, maybe 86, Carver Hall. And there was this one dude, because a lot of guys want bragging rights if they're such a man, right? So they went to this party, and this guy met this girl, and he was boasting about how she let him put his hand up her dress, and he was just feeling on her and touching her intimate places. And he said he could feel warts around her outer vagina.
Mm.
And you know what? He boasted to his friends, "I screwed her anyway." To prove I'm such a man. I would inside a person that I know is infected.
When I get tired, I get a little giggly or whatever, and he is cracking me up. I got the thing on mute right now, so y'all finally came.
No, you good?
Was boasting about screwing a girl that had VD to prove I love puss so much, I didn't let no one.
That's a clown.
I got mine. No, that's the person with the death wish, because whatever he got, the next time he wants to screw someone else, she gets it. So we got to have this conversation right now. We have a whole bunch of sisters that have more pelvic inflammatory disease
Facts.
Than the Dallas Cowgirls on Rikers Island.
Facts.
And they can't have children. And you've had this the cases increasing of sisters stealing babies.
Ooh,
they've had to really step on security in hospitals because folks steal children. Because this woman still wants to have a baby, to say to my man, "Look at what my pussy did with your cum." And when she can't have the baby, she feels cheated.
I'm not trying to smell.
Okay. I y'all understand me.
Well, that's what
I'm talking about. We are sterilizing one another with this promiscuity. And it's all joke, man. Let me tell you, I got stretch marks on my dick, man. When I was at the Spelman, man, I turned a whole bunch of lesbians back to men, man. In a weekend, I mean, I was there for the classic. The classic was the headboard, man. I cracked that thing down the center, and they constantly have this. And I'm thinking maybe they do some of the stuff, but. Do you know that there are hundreds of thousands of black folks with AIDS in Georgia? Hundreds of thousands of people with HIV. The AIDS epidemic is at an all-time high right now with people having HIV. Notice all the pills and shit. I mean, they have this stuff on there like it's Sweethearts on TV now. You know, like you get Twizzler, you got STD medicine. They're
throwing
that shit,
them
like
back.
In there. You know, Valtrex. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a vitamin. The way that they advertise it. But then they talk about the side effects like blindness, blindness, mental illness, suicidal thoughts. If you're not sure, please speak with your physician. Mm-hmm. I think if the shit costs that much stuff, I mean, maybe I should just cut the damn thing off. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. I have a question. Can I ask my question now?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I have an ex-boyfriend who was extremely abusive. Mm. We were together for about a year and a half. It was rough. It was like really rough. I did just have a miscarriage a couple of months ago.
Mm.
I haven't been pregnant since I was 13, so it's been a strong 15, so you know, whatever. Thought I could, whatever. There. So, yeah, I had a miscarriage. I just moved until I was with my mom, then, you know, homeless, for whatever. So I'm in my apartment. I just moved into my apartment or whatever, like this September or whatever. And he had come to visit me. We got into an altercation, and we got into it, like, really bad. The police came, and I was to file a police report. I didn't at the time. I just, you know, had some, like, just no trespass or whatever. I ended up going to the hospital because he had, like, I say, like, Bart Simpson choked me. Well, that's what he used to do. Even, like, in my pregnancy, like, the doctor tested me for a thyroid cancer and everything because my throat was that swollen. So, I went to the doctor, and the question is, also now I moved from Illinois to Indiana, from a blue state to a red state. I don't politics. I've never voted. I'm 28. But I'm scared of the police as well. Like, I don't want them to be for something to happen or for them to think that they in my house and come through my door. I'm in the project in low income. So I don't know whether or not I should really, like, file a charge on him or if I'm, like, okay, because I got my locks changed too. So file the charges on him or be like, you know, because I've been arrested before. I'm a fella for drinking and driving. That was in 2019 or whatever. I don't care. So I just don't trust people.
Well, it seems as if you trusted this person for them to get back to your house. So perhaps you need
to... Well, this happened like 2 weeks or so.
Right. You shouldn't have trusted him if you had a bad relationship with him. You just broke it off 2 weeks ago, or had you had a situation before? Trust me, all we black men, these other two brothers, I'm certain, are wondering, what is it about black men that are brutal to black women that they seem to get on with? No. Don't cut me off. What is it about men that are violent against women that allows them to get in relationship with women? You know, what I'm saying, like, and get chances. You know, I see people get multiple chances. My thing is, and this is a rule you
can was homeless.
Huh?
And I had to be with him. And I was pregnant. And I'm not trying to be offensive or get emotional because I love this show. Y'all have got me cracking up. Mm-hmm. However, I'm
appreciate
still
you, sister.
Well, I was homeless. No problem. I was homeless and I was pregnant, and I had to do what I had to do to wait on my husband. And then that happened, and I'm still listening to you, though. But,
no, what I'm saying is I'm not speaking to you per se, but something that we black men are puzzled by, that men that are violent against women seem to get women with greater ease sometimes than black men that are gentle with black women. And we look at this and say, wow. I'll give an example. Growing up for Howard University, I remember watching two freshman guys who just got to campus, and they were watching the Qs, the Omegas, act vulgar, nasty, cussing, calling people bitches, and the women were cheering and whooping. And these guys said to themselves, I want the women to like me too. So, in other words, I'm going to be an asshole, abusive simp so I can get to. See, men are driven by the desire to be with at least a woman, if not women in plural. And in many ways, women are like the Sphinx with the nose, tits, and an ass. I mean, everybody's wondering about the Sphinx without that shit. Put it on there, you really don't know what they have to do with the Sphinx. We can't figure out half the time what's the proper approach or how is stuff going to proceed. I mean, if you're honest. And a lot of times they get stupid, ignorant advice from dudes to figure out how they can communicate with women. Okay, and so the reason I'm saying that is the men that are horrible towards women seem to connect to something in certain women that men who would never put their hands on a woman don't connect to. And for you, I don't know the whole background. I'm not a professional counselor, so I don't have any major powers or anything, but I would say to you, I would go the full course. If unless you want some old time sake from him, I may be, you know.
Some yeah, old-time. I don't want anything from him.
Because some women do. Sometimes they like a little fighting and a little sex. I'm not saying you want any of that. I've seen people that are conflicted about the man. Because to me, there's a woman I was seeing, and that nigga kicked me, and that was that. Now, what do you need to kick me for? What are you?
Right.
What's this thing about kicking? Kicking. Anyway, Wolf wants to speak. She's a woman. Please, Wolf, talk to her because we men.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Please, Kiana.
Thank you.
Oh, we got an echo.
Okay. So is the echo?
No, you good. You good now. You good.
Okay, so sweetheart, let me tell you something. You said you're 28. So when you're speaking, I'm listening. And when that happens, I also listen to my higher power, which is God. And so this is what I want to say to you. I hear what you're saying. Just about almost everything you've been through, I've been through it. But I'm 43. You're 28. So let me show you something. I heard you say that you let him back in.
Mm-hmm.
I did the same thing. And it was the worst thing I ever did. Because when I let that relationship back into my life, I had to deal with the demons that came with it. And if you're not careful, you'll lose your way. Lose your way. The only way that you can get out of this is, first of all, through accountability, self-reflection, God. And if you're done, you're done. If you're not done, guess what'll happen? Everything that I'm telling you now, you'll take it into your mind, but you'll still do what you want to do. You're 28. You still got time to move. This is a good time for you to move. But I heard you say you moved to Indianapolis. 2 weeks ago is still fresh, baby. But you don't want to get to a certain point to where God has to show you.
And oh, yeah. I got to that point. But this last time was the, let me turn this volume down. I don't know what it is. Yeah. The last time was the last time. It was really bad. And I've been here since September. I wasn't really seeing them too much. However, yeah, that 2 weeks ago, it was bad. And I wasn't in a too much of a bad place. Like with myself, because now that I have my own, I can get back to being myself. So, excuse me. Yeah, so that's over with. I just didn't know whether or not I should, you know, I haven't lived in the hood in a while either. So,
if they put their hands on you, if they can get away with it, they'll be back. Flies return.
No. I don't, he can't come here. I got my, he can't come here. He cannot come here. That's over with.
My
that
thing
is over.
My thing is, I would go the full legal thing for a civil protection order to have it down because a man that sees a woman as an object that he can be violent with doesn't respect the law. It's interesting how the same people might respect law in another situation, but when they're in a relationship, they have no respect. And so you cheat yourself. The whole process to file criminal complaints or civil protection order is because these things recur. Be lonely Christmas and people show back up. I mean, whether you want it or not, they might do something nice this time. I'm going to bring some flowers. It's going to be different. I've never put my hands on anyone female, but I have come to understand that there's a type of man. The only thing he'd understand is Smith and Wesson. And that's the kind of thing, unfortunately, some folks cannot. There was a man, I think down in Georgia, who was on his way to an anger management session. And he made a detour to go back to his home to beat up his wife and his children. And he got a knife and his wife shot him dead.
Mm.
Now, the guy knows he has the problem and all of that. But see, this whole thing, we talk about these really, really shitty, evil, Luciferian
black
men. And it's not